Good morning, everyone. Coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, it is Saturday morning's hottest streaming media political talk show, Inside the Eye, live with The Fed. Did I just hear someone tell a standing member of Congress that if it were up to them, they would dump the Israelis tomorrow? Sounds like something you might hear right here on Inside the Eye Live.
The Fetch. What a man. Oh, my God. You have to listen to that show. He was brilliant. I didn't know he had gonads of steel like that and a mind like a frigging razor. I didn't realize he was so clear. He cut through this that cognitive dissonance that is going on in the whole Patriot music movement.
And now it's time for Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware.
All right, everybody. From Amman, Jordan, this is The Fetch, and you are live Inside the Eye. Today's date is Saturday, July the 21st, 2018, and a good Saturday morning to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late afternoon to evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets. May all be well with you and yours. Have to fix that. Let's see here. It's a really a nice day here in Amman, everybody. We hit temperatures of only about 82 degrees today. And I'll tell you what, it's been very breezy, 14, 15, 16 miles per hour coming out of the west-northwest. It kind of whips around the hill here, blows through the house very, very nicely. It doesn't get into my office, unfortunately, but nonetheless, it's been a really pleasant day. We had a very cool evening last night, something like 62, 63 degrees. That coolness stayed with us really out to 11, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. It never really got that warm. As the afternoon kind of settled in, it did warm up a bit, 82 degrees. We're still sitting at 82 degrees right now. Seems like Amman, the high part of the day is around 4 to 5 to 6, something like that. It usually stays in that temperature, so we're still about 82 degrees. This breeze should continue to stay with us until we get into the evening hours, and as the sun sets, we're expecting the wind to die down just a little bit, but nonetheless, we are still expecting some breezy conditions into the night. So it's been really, really such a pleasant day today here. We've had partly cloudy skies, like these wafting, if that's even a word there, wafting, willowing clouds blowing through the area. So it's been very, very pleasant all the way through. That's not, of course, the case around the world. From what I understand, the Midwest, up in Iowa, place called Marshmallow Town, don't mean to make fun of you guys up there, because this place got hit by not just one, but actually two. That's right, two tornadoes, and the destruction coming out of Marshmallow Town was absolutely pretty phenomenal looking at the pictures. I was watching the I catch it late, everybody, but I was watching the All-Star Game, the Major League All-Star Game. Here last night, actually, I had a guest here yesterday, and after they left, I sat down, had some argila, some one scotch and seven, and my reclining chair, and kind of like moved it straight in front of the TV, and I've got the new PA system, sound system put together, so I'm a little bit comfortable right now. So I just kind of reclined, watched the game last night. It didn't turn out quite as I was hoping to, being a National League kind of guy with the LA Dodgers, but nonetheless, it was a very, very nice time last night with the breeze coming through the house and everything. I'm like, man, I'm glad I'm not in Riyadh right now, and of course, it could be just as bad if I were in Texas. In order to keep all those air conditions running in Texas, they've had, of course, a heat wave, if you're not familiar. Texas are talking about something like demand reached 73,259 megawatts on Thursday. That was topping the prior all-time high of 72,192 megawatts, which was set on Wednesday. So 1 megawatt can usually power about 1,000 U.S. homes. But on a hot summer day in Texas, ERCOT said 1 megawatt could only power about 100 homes. So that tells you how much they were running the air conditioning out there. Quoting here, spokesman Leslie Sopko, she says, our electricity providers are working around the clock to ensure consumers stay cool and safe. ERCOT has not issued any appeals for conservation, but will notify stakeholders if system conditions change. And high temperatures, of course, have been hitting Texas quite a bit lately. In Houston, which is the fourth largest city in the United States, normally they're about 94 to 95 degrees. They've been hovering about 102 degrees. Some areas of Texas I saw, without seeing it on my script here, 108 degrees, breaking some all-time highs in Texas. Thursday's record, Monday, let's see. Yeah, basically this week has been nothing but a week of high level megawatt usage in Texas. Power prices also have skyrocketed. Normally the price is about $41.33 per megawatt. And this year, all of last year, it was only $26.67, but we've been hitting prices as high as $300, $350 at the spot market for megawatt power consumption, or I guess purchase at wholesale level. So ERCOT is the Texas manager. They have, what, 24 million Texas customers, and they represent about 90% of the Texas electric market. So there you have it. Good luck to all of you in Texas. And, of course, there's a lot of heating up around the world. I'm not one of these guys that believes in the climate change. I think that has a lot more to do with geoengineering on many different factors, whether it's chemtrails or who knows what other technology might be involved out there. But nonetheless, it is starting to heat up a bit out there. So everybody stay safe. I'm in Amman. It's absolutely fantastic. Really, it's fantastic. I'm debating whether I take everybody out tonight. You know, I am on vacation, so I'm debating whether I just take everybody out and enjoy the night, because it's really been that phenomenal of weather here in Amman. I don't know if you saw some of the issues like last week. Maybe it was this week. Trump, he was talking about how he has full faith and trust in America's intelligence services. Well, and as he was speaking, the lights went out. I was going to show you a video on that. I just couldn't get the video to work all that well. So had to reload software after Thursday's show. You guys heard the echo on Thursday's show. I had to reload. There's a lot of settings now. I'm trying to debug my streaming software. It's a production type of software. There's a lot of issues going on here. Of course, you can catch the show live now on YouTube live stream. You can just go to the YouTube channel, Inside the iLives YouTube channel. I did see going there. Usually I go through the back end, the creator studio type of thing, but I did go through the front end today and saw that it showed a live streaming section right there in the upper left-hand corner of all the videos that were there. So go to my Inside the iLive page, and you should be able to see the live stream link right up there, and you can just click on it, and that gets you through to YouTube. And, of course, we're here at Revolution Radio at revolution.radio, which is our flagship station. And we're, I guess, kind of getting all over the place. You know, we were talking a couple of weeks ago about how we had noticed our numbers had crashed quite a bit following an interview we did back at the end of June. And we've noticed that things have started to recover a bit. And we're happy to see that, but we think we got throttled back a bit after some of our conversation going back now about a month ago. You know, we just keep these shows moving right along. Trump, he dumped his lawyer today. That's kind of good. He dumped his lawyer. If there's ever a question about Donald Trump and his loyalties to the Jewish people, well, you know, his lawyer is Jewish, Mr. Michael Cohen, and Trump made it clear this morning that less than 24 hours after It was revealed that Cohen secretly recorded phone conversations with then client Trump. So basically, here's the deal. You have client attorney relationships going on, and the government, of course, the government is huge in America. It has many different factions going on inside. And so one of those factions decided to raid Cohen's office. When they did that, they took some of Trump's recorded phone calls. And Trump says it's inconceivable that a lawyer would record a client without their knowledge. And Trump suggested that the act was illegal. He has since backed down on that. And it is inconceivable that the government would break into a lawyer's office early in the morning. And it's almost unheard of. But of course, when you have internecine fighting, as we have in the U.S. government nowadays, you should expect this and a whole lot more. Even more inconceivable, of course, is that the lawyer just left this stuff unprotected. And the good news is that he says your favorite president did nothing wrong. And New York is a one-party consent state, meaning recordings can legally be made without anyone else's knowledge. And quite frankly, I'm okay with that as a radio personality type guy, because we could do it just kind of call and troll you. I've never done it, never tried that type of radio programming, but I've been tempted to call various Jewish organizations and just start talking and get their feedback, because we'd like to hear it straight from their mouths, and if you want to call it that. And then Trump was funny. He says, I can't believe Michael would do this to me. Trump, they're Jews, man. They're Jews, dude. You can't trust anybody in the Jewish community by and large, especially when it comes to those affiliated and associated with various government agencies. They do not work for the American people, everybody. They work for the state of Israel, and the greatest power that Jewish people have in working with the state of Israel is their information and the dirt they have on everybody else. And everybody should keep that in mind. Now, I was talking to somebody this past week. And it's like, you know, a lot of times Jews say they have some dirt on people. And of course, they've had dirt on me. Technically, if I was a guy to be shamed, a lot of us have done certain things maybe we're not proud of. But I've always thought to myself, you know what? At this stage, because I'm a whole different person I was long ago, and even then I was different, and you could take things out of context, and I'm thinking, you know what, bring it out. Let's talk about how you got this information. Bring it. Let's go. Let's have a sincere discussion how it is you come about getting all this information about private citizens. I would think that would be a very, very intelligent thing to do, is start calling out these Jews and saying, okay, yeah, it's nice that you got, but why don't you talk to us how you got it? Because most of us Americans, we are repulsed by people sticking their noses in other people's private affairs. As long as you're not harming people, quite frankly, it's not my business. I don't need to be involved in your private affairs. And what you do is your business. And I'm happy that you can do what you do. And I don't need some Jewish guy trying to shame you, me, everybody else. And that's really the nature of Jews when it comes to their politics. I mean, they want to shame everybody into some type of acquiescence. But the fact of the matter is Jews themselves have no shame. So you're not playing with a comparable deck here, so to speak. I guess that's all I could say about that, you know. But I just found it funny with Trump saying, I can't believe Michael would do this. Come on, Michael. Come on, Trump. Give us a freaking break already, dude. So again, apparently these recordings were seized back in April from the FBI. And that's the way it goes. Got a little video here I wanted to share. And hopefully the sound clip will come through okay. And it's Judge Jeanine appearing on the Whoopi Goldberg's The View. And it's basically, in my opinion, it's not playing out loud, is it there? That's not a good thing. But I know why. Because the software is like really screwing up here. And because the software is screwing up, it makes my life really, really, really difficult to actually do this professionally. Not that I can't do it professionally, it's just that it's really hard because the software keeps screwing up. And let's see here. Let's see if we can get this thing to play properly. I'm just going to like kind of put this behind the scenes here, everybody, because it is.
To four.
So you want to talk about now, it? I'll tell you about
fought for a law for hate crime.
I also
she fought for a law for hate crime. Oh, isn't that great?
The Republican Party still supports him. He still has huge popularity in the country. And if Democrats don't get their what together, he's certainly going
well,
to get
here's my question for you. Here's my question for you because you talk about
I am not. Judge.
Nobody
no,
is.
I, no, oh, yeah.
Did you just point at me?
Yes.
Listen, I don't have Trump derangement. Let me tell you what I have.
Okay.
I have a lot of. I'm tired of people starting a conversation with Mexicans or liars and rapists. I'm tired of people starting a conversation about this country. I'm 62 years old. There have been a lot of people in office that I didn't agree with, but I have never, ever seen anything like this. I've never seen anybody whip up such hate. I've never seen anybody be so dismissive. And I don't watch the show, so you don't know that I don't suffer from that. What I suffer from is the inability to figure out how to fix this. That's my issue. But one of the things that you talk about a lot, and I'm curious about it, is the deep state. How long has the deep state been there, and who's running it?
Well, I want to answer your question because you gave
you had your
opening statement, which was how horrible it is that Donald Trump is talking about all of these people.
I'm sorry,
you
know that's what you said. You said
people shouldn't be here end up murdering the children of American citizens.
You know what's horrible?
What's horrible
when the president of the United States whips up people to beat the hell out of people?
No,
say goodbye.
Now, if you were catching what was going on there in that little clip, and I hope it played clearly enough for you to where you actually heard that. I'm not sure. Again, you can join us in the chat room inside the iLive. First, before we get in, insidetheilive.com, click on the live chat button. That's insidetheilive.com. There's a parallel chat room running at revolution.radio. And, of course, you can join us on the new live stream on YouTube where there's also a chat going there. So anywhere you'd like to participate and, of course, listen live through the radio, et cetera. But here I want to explain a little bit about what's going on there with this Whoopi Goldberg little clip there that you heard. And what you notice is that Whoopi Goldberg was talking about how she is tired of all of this. You know, the very first, starting the argument that Mexicans are rapists and murder criminals and stuff like that. And of course, the mood of the country, I'm not in America, but I have a sense of words. I have a sense of being able to decipher things through the use of words. It's kind of like a craft that I've specialized in. And what I noticed here is that it's not so much that Whoopi Goldberg is upset about, you know, rapists and this and starting conversations. Well, we Americans should be very much, and it's not just the Americans. This is why I like to think that my show appeals on a global scale, because it's not just America. It's across Western Europe. We are tired of having media personalities, their attack dogs on various social media platforms. We're very, very, very tired of these people starting every conversation, every little attack with anti-Semite, xenophobe, hate-filled rhetoric. You know, we're getting a little tired of all of this attack dog mentality coming from this left/Jewish society. And Whoopi talks about how Trump is sending people out to beat people up. And it's the funny thing is that Whoopi Goldberg doesn't live in a rational, intelligent world. This is a woman that is so far possessed with her own stupidity that she actually believes the nonsense that she spews on like a daily basis, probably. I couldn't watch, nothing against the ladies here, but I couldn't watch a show that's all about a bunch of ladies cackling and gaggling and cackling at each other all day. I just can't do that. If I want to do that, I'll just ask to go to a salon and sit around the salon. I don't need this type of entertainment. There's a little bit more value, but when these things do come out from time to time, it does show us kind of what's happening out there in this leftist Jewish mainstream media. But here's an issue that a lot of you probably didn't catch, but please kind of be aware of it, because I didn't play the whole clip, the whole interview. But Whoopi talked about the deep state. When did it start? Who's in control? Well, I'll tell you straight up, Whoopi. First of all, Judge Jeanine could not have said who is in control. And quite frankly, Judge Jeanine may not have the clarity of speech to say who's in control. But we will tell you straight up, it is a Jewish concoction at this stage. It is various Israeli operations working within the U.S. government. And that's just one part of it. Quite frankly, there are corporate sides. There's human trafficking side of it. There's the drug trafficking side of it. But then there's also the banking and the Jewish side of it. These are all four sides of it. To say when it started, of course, it started deep, deep, deep long ago, all the way back even before probably the Federal Reserve was even created. But the fact of the matter is that when you have an organization that operates inside a cloud of security or secrecy called the national security, when it operates under this umbrella called national security, that's the proper way to word that. Yeah, I can get my words out today. It's very difficult to pin your fingers on it. It's very difficult to pin it down and actually talk about it. And when Goldberg asked that question, that was a loaded question. It wasn't created by Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg is a moron. She is just a leftist liberal nutcase filled with her own little importance here about what and how we should be living our lives and how our world should be operating. I don't have a whole lot of respect for this woman. And when she asked that question, that wasn't a Whoopi Goldberg question. That was a deep state question. That was a typical, if you're familiar with working around Jewish rhetoric, that was a typical Jewish framed question. It was designed to make Judge Jeanine there appear like she's some conspiracy nutcase. It was a very loaded, subtle question that had she gone with the question, she would have appeared to be somewhat of a crackpot conspiracy theorist, because it's a very etheric thing to talk about. The reason why I think we saw that blow up this week with the Whoopi Goldberg and Judge Jeanine is Judge Jeanine didn't go for the question. She went to somewhere else, and that was not the script. That wasn't how it was supposed to go down. Understand that when you have various personalities on television, they are typically not the ones doing the thinking. They are not the ones doing the actual crafting of the message you are hearing. I have worked before for Jewish companies, and I have been on the front end of the microphone. Typically, what will happen is that while you are developing a conversation out there, behind the scenes, Jews are listening to you. This is a fact, guys. I've had it happen to me personally. I've worked in these environments. I'm telling you how it works. Behind the scenes, there's a Jewish guy listening. He's analyzing the energy between the two of you guys. Then he's spitting crap into your ear, and you're supposed to basically mouth what he says because he believes he's so clever. This is the truth. They believe they are so clever, they can convince anybody out there. They don't care about how stupid things sound to you. They want you to mouth precisely exactly what they are telling you. When you look at a Whoopi Goldberg here, you have to factor these types of issues. People are behind the scenes, inside of their ears, saying, raise it this way, talk about this. Sometimes they'll tell them exactly what to say. When this interview went down the way it went down with Judge Jeanine and Whoopi Goldberg, this one didn't go with the script. Whoopi Goldberg got upset because she couldn't push her crackpot, Judge Jeanine is a crackpot conspiracy theorist, narrative on her television show. And so basically she looked like an idiot But this is normal, folks. This is quite normal in the Jewish world. Start to become aware of this as you hear and watch more and more of these events unfold on your television screen. Watch the eyes of the presenters. Watch the way you can see them internally process the information, how they're starting to think in their minds. They are all very highly paid professionals. They're able to look at, I'm not even that good, folks, but they're able to look at that camera, process their thoughts, have somebody in their ears, giving them and feeding them information, and then telling. And then that person is able to then vocalize what is being said behind. That's typically how these interviews in a political world are going to go down. It's very subtle. It's very sinister, but it's very, very real. And take it from somebody who has personally done it. I've done it. I don't like it. I had to get off the phone and I had to tell the Jewish guy, just shut the frick up, dude. You're misreading the entire conversation. You sound like an idiot. And yeah, I was fired like 2, 3, 4 days later. I don't care. Look, if a Jew is going to come to my face and mouth off like an idiot, I'm going to tell him to his face, dude, get your little idiocy out. That was before I took this more vocal anti-Jewish mentality. But it's like, man, this Jewish guy is behind the scenes like, what a freaking moron. Is this part of Jewish culture? Yes, it is. Quite frankly, it really is. All right. Just again, join us in the chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. You can click on the live chat button and that will get you in the door. And then what else? The live stream, of course, on YouTube. Just go to my Inside the Eye Live YouTube channel. You'll see the live stream is now live. Just click on it. You can get in. It's very easy. I've had a lot of great feedback from the YouTube for the most part. A lot of good feedback. We've had a lot of good feedback from the radio show. Everything seems to be going okay, folks, even though I've had a lot of doubts over the past few weeks. But nonetheless, everything seems to be going fine. So we want to thank everybody for that. I do have to fix the streaming software, though, everybody. I had to download back. It's like Skype. You know, Skype. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware right here on Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. That's right. It's at Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. Today's date is July the 21st, 2018. Again, a good Saturday morning to all of you listening out there in the United States and Canada. Yeah, I don't know if you ever heard the phrase, it's actually tomorrow. It's going to be tomorrow, but it's going to be, Christmas in July. And Christmas in July, of course, is the 22nd day of July. And you may be asking yourself, why on earth would Christmas in July be on the 22nd day of July and not the 25th day? And I'll give you a quick reason for that, because Christmas is actually based on what we could call something like a, I'm not sure what I'm hearing out there. It's kind of very loud. Good. Yeah, I saw that. Thanks so much, Nighthawk. Thanks so much. I did see that. Thank you. Christmas in July. That's right. We're on Christmas on July. And the reason why is because it's all based on pi. That's right. All of these various religious formulas, believe it or not, are based on the numeric called pi. And pi, of course, is 3.14159265358973238462643332795 0. That's out to 32 digits, everybody. That's because the 32 of the Freemasons, you'll see a lot of those 32 Freemasons, they're also basically trying to recover the lost word, which is the first 32 decimal digits of pi and all of that kind of cool stuff. But one thing about the English language that is very, very tricky and phenomenal in a way is the way it's designed, and that is that the letter T happens to be on the seventh location of the second half of the alphabet. The winter solstice occurs on the 22nd day of December. That was the traditional starting point. Look at Manly P. Hall if you
are into conspiracy and all that, just look at what Manly P. Hall describes. It's the 22nd day over the 7th letter, and that would be Can 3.1428571, which is a reciprocal 7 number of pi. And, of course, that will only repeat one other time, and that is July the 22nd. So there you have it, Christmas in July. And no one's ever going to say or prove that to you, but just trust the conjecture is very sound and rational, and that's why it was done. This is listener-sponsored and supported radio, everybody. It does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. And without your donations, quite frankly, we don't have a platform to work from. And believe me, everybody, we do our part to bring you as best quality of product that we can. And you don't see, really, like today, man, I was upset today trying to get this darn streaming platform to work properly. It just didn't work. I was trying to bring you a lot of videos and stuff like that after I had to upload my software. It just didn't give me the sound. I'm like, why is there no sound now? So I'm going to have to go back and spend a few more hours probably debugging after spending hours today trying to debug this stuff. So, folks, help us. You know, help us help you. It costs money to do this stuff, unfortunately. So, again, do what you can. Send us donations. I want to say thanks to Stan. Stan, you're probably listening out there. It was received. Thank you so much for the 30. This was upwards of $30. So, yes, it was a very good thank you for that. These types of things really put a dent in some of the requirements that we have. Monthly bandwidth for the hosting of the podcasts and things like that. We spend a lot of money, guys. Really, you have no idea how much it really takes to run this. And it's not just me, but the network. It's taking care of 82 different hosts. And I'll be honest, the network does a great job for us here on Inside the Eye Live. So definitely support the network. You can go out and do that by going to revolution.radio. And you'll find many ways to do that. So we really encourage you to do that. And we ask you to do that because it's really, really important that you support the network, support the individual artists too if you can. We don't have the millions that George Soros has throwing and billions for that matter being thrown around. So just do what you can because it's really kind of important. The ITEL Cat Report, let me see if I can find. I haven't even seen the ITEL Cat Report because I've redone a bunch of stuff on my computers. And I'm like, that got stuck on a different computer that I never open anymore. The ITEL Cat Report. I can pretty much do it out of my mind, though. The ITEL Cat Report is proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Posts. Good services and solutions for all creatures, great and small. It's inconveniently located at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk and by Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Frederick C. Blackburn. He is an NSA whistleblower, a 9/11 truth advocate, a former North Carolina House candidate. And you can hear Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on the Spreaker Radio Network. That's right. Every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 on the Spreaker Radio Network. And you can catch, again, his efforts at blackbird9tradingpost.org. That's blackbird9tradingpost.org. So check out the website, all the details, a lot of the files. And again, just another great person to support. He's been so supportive of this show. I haven't been in the chat room today yet. In fact, I should go there now before I get into the chat, before I get into the cat report. I'm going to do that. Inside the Eye Live. Let me just go see who's there, guys. Inside the Eye Live /live chat. And it'll pull up here pretty quickly, hopefully with the new fiber here. It's bouncing in pretty darn fast. There's one. I haven't seen one eye today or yesterday for that matter. Let's see. Chat room. Quickly load. There you go. I see good 18 people in the chat room now. There it goes. Jim Fire, Equicenter, Wolfgang Space, Hebe. Welcome, everybody, to the chat room there. So I have officially checked in. Blackbird 9. Hello, Frederick. Again, he is the sponsor of the ITEL Cat Report. And I'll tell you what, I was on Twitter the other day. No, I wasn't on Twitter. I was on Gab, gab.ai. Follow me at Radio ITEL at gab.ai or gab.ai/Radio ITEL, something like that. And anyway, somebody says, Fetch, the only reason I listen to your show is to keep up with the cats. How are the cats? And that's kind of cool. I get a lot of these. Believe it or not, I get a lot on this stuff. You know, people have different opinions of the Cat Report. But Cat Report this week is a little bit stressful, only because I haven't seen One Eye now for about 24 hours. He checked in yesterday, early in the morning, something like that, or the day before. I can't recall. Maybe it's been 2 days. Last time I saw him was, when did I see One Eye? I think over dinner 2 nights ago. That's right, dinner time 2 nights ago. We had some fish, and he kind of plopped down and wanted some fish and chicken, and I was happy to feed him, so I fed him what I could. And he's so cute when he's at the table eating. Trust me, guys, he's a very well-trained cat. But I haven't seen him for about 2 days now, so it's a little bit stressful. We're hoping he's okay. I went to his favorite hideout. That has been kind of destroyed. They were removing a lot of the hardware and things where he likes to kind of like camp out and hide. He couldn't be there anymore because they moved a lot of this stuff. So I don't know where One Eye is. That's the first report of the Cat Report. I just don't know. The second Cat Report is Bruiser's Bruiser. Bruiser's just a good guy. He tried to pee on my couch in front here while I was on the show after the, not on the show, but after Thursday's show. I was discussing with some of the supporters here behind the scenes, technical and otherwise. And he tried to just pee right here on the couch. I like, is it time, Bruiser? I got to chase him outside. And he went out. I got him 15 minutes later. But yeah, I don't want my cat, because Bruiser's blind. You know, he's it's difficult for him. And so if he's asking to go outside and I'm on the radio and I can't hear him and everyone's sleeping, well, he's going to go take a pee wherever he can. And that was going to be my couch. I caught him just in time. And the there's Bruiser. Bruiser, come. Bruiser, come. Come on, handsome. You want to say hello to everybody? Come on, Bruiser. Come. Oh, big stretch, huh? Come on, Bruiser. Folks, he's right here. I just got to coax him. Come on, Bruiser. I can't coax him and do radio at the time. But I don't know. Maybe you can hear him. he's like a fish, you know, when he wants to be picked up because he can't see. He just like walks around your feet a little bit and he'll stretch and like, meow, and then he talks to you. But, Bruiser, come on. Come on, Bruiser. You don't get that normally on Inside the Eye Live very often, do you? But he's right here. I'm going to try to coax him. All right. Good boy. Well, everybody, if you're in the live stream, Bruiser has officially made it to the show. There's Bruiser, everybody. Good boy. He's a good cat. Hello there, Bruiser. How are you doing? Want to say hello? Want to say hello? No? Okay. Okay, I'm going to let him just sit on my lap for a while. There's his tail. He's right here. So he's going to just sit on my lap, everybody, and just enjoy the show because he likes to do that guy. So, folks, there you go. That's Bruiser. He's finally made his Inside the Eye Live debut, and you'll have to check out the live stream if you're going to see it, see, because there's a way to get it. Anyways, that's the Eye-Tail Cat Report. We got another quick thing about the Eye-Tail Cat Report, and that is our new kitten outside. He's out there just right now screaming up a storm. I have not given him a name yet. I'm probably going to name him tomorrow, next day, within a day or two. Study. I think it's a boy. I'm not sure. But I'll give him a name within a day or so because he's really camping out every day. He's very cute, very lovable cat. Kitten, I should say. So we'll be having a new cat to report on the Cat Report. We talked a couple weeks ago about that cat that almost died and we rescued. I did see she's been coming around like every other night, looks at the window. She's still skittish, doesn't want me to touch her anymore. She didn't have any choice when she was almost dead, you know, because she was almost dead. So I was able to pick her up without her panicking too much. But Bruiser's here, everybody. You can see his tail on the live stream. See, there's his tail. See, that's his tail. That's Bruiser. And he's going to just camp out. And it's really too warm for Bruiser, but that's kind of cool. Let's see. What else we want to talk about? I think we'll go to this segment now. That's the Eye-Tail Cat Report, everybody. Proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Post.
Oy vey. Oy gaval. It's like another show.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on volunteers.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
Oy vey.
Your Vey Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. Order your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live Now link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
And this week's Oy Vey Moment is coming to us from the State of Israel. That's right. Something dastardly has happened within the State of Israel, and that is that an American Jewish guy has been arrested. And what it was he was apparently performing a marriage outside of the approved authority of the rabbinate. Now, a lot of you, what you don't seem to, maybe you don't know, and people like guests we've had recently want to deflect from, is that Israel's a theocracy, first and foremost. It's run by a chief rabbinate. It's very much a theocracy. This is not a democracy. They have trappings of democracy just like everybody else, but by and large, the State of Israel is a theocracy. The rabbinates tell you who you can marry, who you can't marry, what you can and can't eat. Basically, it's run by some unelected idiot. Well, he's an idiot, but nonetheless, they take these things very seriously. And so anyways, you have the chief rabbinate, and they ordered basically the arrest of an American. His name is, where's his name? But basically, I don't see his name. Where's his name? Attorney, I see his attorney's name. Hayun is his name. Hayun, H-A-I-Y-U-N, Hayun. So what happened is Steve, basically what he was doing again, he was performing a wedding outside of the rabbinate, and it gives the impression, of course, that there is religious police. Well, yeah, there is religious police, you freaking morons. You're a freaking theocracy. Everybody knows there's a religious. You can't have a Jewish state, which, by the way, a judge this week also declared that Jews are a race. So they've kind of like, you know, they're going to be twisting themselves up so much like a pretzel that there will be no escape for them. And quite frankly, I don't care. But a judge this week, by the way, that's just another aside, declared them to be a race this week. So that's a good thing. Next time they say, we're not a race, yes, you are. A judge has already declared. See, they want to use judges always to tell us what the reality is. So anyways, here's the story. It came out of New York. Israeli authorities early this week arrested and interrogated a conservative rabbi in a sign that the country is no longer a Jewish homeland for all the Jewish people, according to an American conservative leader speaking yesterday. Now, after Rabbi Dov Hayun was taken from his home at 5 o'clock in the morning, no doubt, and detained Thursday for performing weddings outside of the auspices of the state-run chief rabbinate. See, you can't have this. People who want to get in my face and say this is not a theocracy, go screw yourself, people. Look, you're arresting people because of what? You're performing weddings outside of the auspices of the main theocratic power, which is your chief rabbinate. Now, Rabbi Steve Wernick said Israel was not only tarnishing its already splintered relationship with the diaspora, but eroding its democratic status. Well, first of all, aside from Jews, nobody in their right mind would even call Israel a democratic state. That's number one. Number two is that it is absolutely galling to have in this day and age of heightened awareness of immigration and mass migration, it is highly galling to have some Jewish idiot out there talking about how Israel is no longer a Jewish homeland for all the Jewish people. Do these Jews really even get that
England is no longer a homeland for the English people, or that America is hardly becoming a homeland for true Americans, or that Germany is no longer a homeland for Germany, and that the French, they long ago lost their homeland? Did Jews grasp that their policies are destroying the homelands of so many people? And yet here they're going to whine and complain and kvetch about how Israel's not a homeland? Are they freaking insane or what? This again, points a lot to the tone-deaf stupidity of Jewish people. Stating here, Wernick says, it gives the impression of a religious police. This is not something that happens in a democracy. Well, let me also tell you something that doesn't happen in a democracy to our Jewish friends out there. We don't arrest people because they disagree, with your view of history. We don't arrest people because they don't sit there and buy your history. We don't arrest people because they don't agree with your policies. We don't sit there and call people anti-American because their policies differ with ours. But see, that's how it works in the Jewish community. They don't say you're anti-American. They say you're anti-Semite. It's a full court press. I'll be talking more about that in hour number two, I think. You're making me want to sneeze, man. Come on. Following Hayun's arrest, and a furious outcry, it says, from both outside and inside Israel, Attorney General Avichai Mandelbilt instructed police to halt the questioning. Well, that's called Jewish privilege, I guess, right? You Jews out there, you ever heard of, want to talk about white privilege? Why don't you educate everybody now about this obvious a bit of Jewish privilege? Because, hey, American Jews whine and you get your way, right? The actions of the prime minister and this government are actions of leadership that are making Israel no longer the Jewish homeland for all the Jewish people, Wernick said. What we see through the lack of forceful response when people say really outrageous thing and by a governmental culture and policies that are allowing rabbis to be arrested, even if it is a mistake, are actions that cumulatively delegitimize world Jewry. That's what makes me so emotional about it. Well, dude, I can't understand why you're emotional about it. You know, when we look at what Jews are doing to us in the West, it's like, dude, so what? When I see Jewish culture and society, you know what I really see? I see a society of children, a society of vindictive bullies. I see a society of racists. I see a society of intolerant ignoramuses. I don't see an enlightened society here, folks. I cannot, dude, they believe in their Torah and they have a Talmud in every freaking synagogue. How can you tell me these are cool people, nice people? Have you read their Talmud? Have you seen their Torah? Have you understood really what goes on inside of the minds of these people? Look at the crazed look in their eyes, folks. This isn't a healthy, normal people, period. And they don't have the best interests of you at heart. Bruiser, can I excuse yourself, please? He's like getting really hot. Let's see. Carrying on, he says, according to Wernick, Hayun was summoned to appear before court for conducting a wedding that was not registered with the rabbinate. See? That would be kind of like in America if we had a state-sanctioned religious authority and every single wedding had to be processed through that state-sanctioned religious authority. Think about that. That's what's happening in Israel. It's a state-sanctioned religious authority. It's a theocracy. Hayun, who's been officiating at non-Orthodox weddings in Israel for decades, appeared hours after his release at an event at the residence of President Reuven Rivlin, participating in a program in which he taught Torah to Reform, conservative, Orthodox, and secular Jewish scholars. So basically, a bunch of idiots believing in their fairy tales are going to sit there and go preach to themselves about a bunch of fairy tales. I'll tell you what. Let's have, in America, the president of United States, Bruiser, I'm getting a runny nose from you, buddy. The president of the United States, and let's talk about our fairy tales. How about we do something on the Grimm fairy tale? Or we do something on, I don't know, just pick any of those older, the Prose Edda. Let's do something like that. And then let's all bask in our glory and, oh, we're such genius, brilliant people. And, oh, by the way, all of you Jews in America, make sure that you engineer $50 billion a year so we can continue to be such non-productive, clueless morons. Basically, that's Israel in a heartbeat. Hayun's detention, she emphasized, I don't know who she is,
was a manifestation of the reality under which non-Orthodox Jews live in Israel and that diaspora Jews confront when they visit. Have you ever tried to be a non-Jew and visit your country? Look, if you're a non-Jew, if you're an American, and you go through the King Hussein Gate here I think it's the King Hussein Gate, between Jordan and the West Bank, you'll be lucky. You'll be lucky if that Jew doesn't take your passport, throw it on the ground and stomp on it and rub it into the ground. That's what Jews think of Americans for. I've had many stories now that if you're a Palestinian American and you go to Israel, they take that American passport and they literally throw it on the ground and they grind it into the ground. And they just literally, and then they say, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to, because the U.S. Embassy in America, they don't give a damn. The U.S. Embassy in Tel Aviv is just a cesspool of incompetence. They're going to do nothing for you. These people are scared, stiff to do anything for you. Ahmad's strong. Riyadh, I'm not so sure. Hopefully I don't need to know. But here it's pretty darn good. But in Israel, Jordan, between Jordan and Israel, they hate you, folks. They hate Americans with a passion. They can't stand you. If you dare to complain to them, you watch what will happen to you. They will just spit on you. They will take your passport. They will make sure that it gets very scuffed up. These Jews cannot stand you Americans and get it through your freaking head. They don't like you. They think you are trash. They think you are scum. They think you are some of the lowest people on this planet. And they think you're a bunch of stupid morons because you're willing to give them and allow so much money to be given to them. That's the reality of Israel, folks. They can't stand Americans. They cannot stand Christians. And then you got the Christian nutcases. Excuse me. I don't hope you're not listening. That just think the Israel is the greatest thing since sliced cheese. Yeah, you got to get your Jesus to come back. So you got to get your Israel and you just believe in all this stuff, right? And you guys are there in power. Jeez. Let's see. It says here, Israel deserves us. That's these lunatic American Jews in the positive sense. And we deserve them in, I guess, the lunatics on both sides. So we deserve this positive relationship, Schoenfeld said. We can't let anybody, including any politicians with the short-sighted desires, take that away from us. It's not theirs to take away. Well, my opinion to the Jewish people is not for you Jews to take away our rights. It is not for you Jews to take away the rights to control our self-determination. If you want to have a Jewish state with self-determination, get the heck out of our way and allow us our self-determination. And that includes not having you determine for us how that self-determination proceeds. It's that simple. You don't want us to tell you Jews how you should be self-determining yourself. So what makes the Jewish people think that right now they have a right to determine for us what our self-determination should be? This is absurd, folks. Again, this is a double standard. This is a bunch of idiots telling us what we have to do on their behalf and then what we have to do on their behalf. That doesn't even sound right. But basically, Bruiser. The Bruiser's like, he is so comfortable and he's like boiling my skin up. Anyways, folks, that I think is going to be the Oy Vey moment. Again, brought to you by The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show. Again, a new show every day of the year. And you can catch The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show again at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. And I think that's going to be 3 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon in the UK. And again, all of his shows come with the archives free of charge. They're all available at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. And if you peruse through it, you might find the patch. I'm on a couple of shows now. And I'm actually doing his voiceovers. I don't know if you heard the show, but I'm the one doing the voiceovers. That's right. I'm doing the voiceovers. So it's kind of cool. All right, everybody. That's the Oy Vey moment. Again, when I say this is Inside the Eye Live, InsideTheEyeLive.com is the website. You can join us in the chat.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware right here on, again, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And, of course, you can join us in the chat room InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button, or you can go to our Inside the Eye Live Well, that's okay. That's perhaps the background, Mike. Just it's part of the live stream on the backside, only because the music's not working from the studio. Let's see. But thanks for the – I didn't realize that. But nonetheless, it should be live again, everybody. Again, join us at the live stream, also InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's – oh, I got to click something. Hold on. All right. You know, it's a big chore here. Anyways, just want to go into a little bit of international stuff. Again, join us on the live stream on YouTube. And our phone numbers, if you'd like to call in, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. And you can, of course, dial in. We'll take your call, put you right on the air pretty much. And second hour now at 12 o'clock, we're going to have Jan Lamprecht from South Africa. He's going to be coming on the show to talk about some of the latest developments in South Africa, just trying to get more information, get some extra sources about what's going on with the secession efforts inside of South Africa. And I'm just kind of curious to hear his take on that. So he'll be coming on at 12 o'clock to discuss what's some of the latest developments inside of South Africa. Now, I was talking a long time ago about one thing you can tell when the situation is going to start to normalize here in the Middle East is when we have information about Syrian families and refugees, if you know, making their way back to Syria. And that's exactly what we're starting to see happen now. A Latin American publication, Prensa Latina, they've come up with a pretty good article about I didn't turn my mic off, huh? Oh, you know, I had to blow my nose, guys, because Bruiser, like, made my nose. Sorry about that. Well, you know, it's live radio. What you want? It's live radio. Sorry about that. I'll make sure I mute the mic next time. All right. Anyways, more than 750,000 internally displaced persons and about 13,000 Syrian refugees returned to their homes so far in the first 6 months of this year. That is according to United Nations. That was reported yesterday. A statement from the Office of the United Nations High Commission for Refugees published again indicated these people returned to their communities in Syrian provinces such as Aleppo, Hama, Damascus, and other areas. The UN body also expressed its approval of the initiative of the Syrian and Russian authorities to establish a center for the attention of displaced Syrians who returned to their homes. Now, the office is located on the Syrian-Jordanian border here and aims to encourage the voluntary return of children of Syria who moved to the neighboring nation, which would be, of course, Jordan here. Now, on the occasion of the war, which was back in March 2011, thousands of citizens of the Middle Eastern country, which of course is Syria, fled and settled mainly in Lebanon, Jordan, and Turkey. Well, here's the thing. you have people like so many politicians, quite frankly, so many politicians in the West bombarded us. And that includes the Jewish media, bombarded us with ideas that Syria was a regime. They're always going to use the word regime. They don't say Syrian government. They give the Syrian people no credit at all. It's just a Syrian regime as if the people don't matter. And it's very dishonest and unethical by newspapers and everybody else to report in this fashion. But that's how it's done all the time. Even well-meaning people that should know better use the word regime. It's like, what's the matter with you? What do you have with reporting with some sanity here? They tell us, like, Assad is a butcher. Assad's an eye doctor, guys. Assad's an eye doctor. His wife's got a PhD or something like that. These are very elegant, British-trained, British-bred, British couple. These guys are not something these aren't people that are basically butchers like some animals that you might find in South, you know, the Congo or some of these areas down in Africa. That's not the case at all. But all the time for 5 years, we heard Assad's a butcher. He must go. Assad's a butcher. He must go. But here we're getting reports now. 750,000 people have now returned back to their homes. They're not returning to the areas where the quote-unquote the terrorists live. They're returning within areas where the Syrian government has restored security
to the regions, the various regions of Syria. So again, this points to you, if you're paying attention, the complete dishonesty of Jews and their media, period. They have wanted for a long time to destroy Syria as part of their greater Israel project. But it's a pipe dream. These guys are morons in some respect, but they have basically federal banks. They have the power of usury to put their plans into action, and they have tons of ignorant people upon which they draw upon to put these plans equally into action. Now, what's happened is on July the 21st, which is today, a Russian Antonov, it's an AN-124, military transport plane has delivered 44 tons of humanitarian cargo, not from Russia, not from the Americans, but from the French. That's right, from France. Now, this came to Sirius Humayun Airfield. I got to watch Bruiser, man. He's like, okay, go, Bruiser. And anyways, it went into the Russian Humayun Airfield. It is, again, an AN-124. The Russian aircraft delivered mainly medicines and medical aid type of stuff, clothing, tents, medical equipment, basic necessities. But all of this is literally being sent by the French government. Now, the medicines and essentials delivered to Syria will be handed over to meet the needs of the civilian population, which is still in obviously some dire need of assistance, especially in the eastern Ghouta region, particularly for emergency medical care and hospitals managed by the Syrian Arab Red Crescent. That is according to a ministry statement. The cargo will be escorted in accordance with the UN regulations with Russia's support and in keeping with international humanitarian law. So it's very critical that people understand that. This idea, Bruiser gave me like a sniffles here. It's very critical to understand here in the Middle East that a lot of the lies that were sold to us by the press, by Jewish media, were really just that, extreme lies. The politicians involved, like a John McCain, Senator McCain, this is really treason. Supporting terrorist non-state operators to overthrow another sovereign nation and its people, regardless of whether you agree with them, that's a war crime. We as Americans, quite frankly, should be handing over John McCain to The Hague. We Americans, quite frankly, should be dealing with John McCain on a level that treats him as a war criminal. But what we've learned here, and as we continue to learn in America and elsewhere, is that the laws simply do not apply to those who are the ruling class. They just don't apply. Thanks, Mike. I got Mike Goodrich. I should bring Mike on and let's put him on. I got to bring you on, Mike, just to put you on the spot, man. He's chirping at my ear in the background here. I think I'm going to put Michael Goodrich on, author of Hellstorm, Death of Nazi Germany, 1944 to 1947, something like that. I had to put Mike on. Let's see what he's doing. Let me see here. I'm going to do that, folks. Mike, you better answer your phone, man. Folks, I'm going to bring Michael Goodrich in. Let me just say hi to Mike. Hello. Let's see if he's going to answer the phone. Mike, you there? You know, for some reason, with Mike and I have not been able to reach Mike. I can reach Mike, but I can't hear him. For whatever reason, he's got a problem with his side, I think. I don't think it's my side, but I haven't been able to hear Mike at all. So, Mike, I got to see what's going on your side. I'm going to drop your call there. You got out of this, Mike. But, yeah, anyways, he's been chirping in my background. So, basically, folks, just watch the Syrian venture. That's all we got to say. It's reaching an epic point here where it's going to start shifting north towards Turkey very, very soon. And hello, Mike, are you there? He is not there. But I'd bring him on just for fun. Let's see. Here's something we want to talk about off the cuff, just off the cuff. The issue about America and elsewhere
And I think I'm on this, but I think I'm pretty accurate. There's a belief for the most part that the economy's improved, that there's more jobs, and that all may well be good in the case, possibly. I'm not there. Obviously, any amount of job creation is good for the American people. It's good for anybody. The level of protectionism that's being raised by various by Trump in the way of China. Mike, I don't think I hear you yet. No, Mike, you're going to have to. There you are. Hey, Mike. Michael Goodrich, man. Author.
Yeah, we've got two Michael Goodriches and two Fetchos here. I'm sorry. What can I do to stop this?
You're echoing or what?
No, I've got.
Just talk, man. Forget the backside. You're live now, man. You're on the air.
Okay, I can't hear really what I'm saying, quite honestly. But, hey, I didn't mean to disrupt an entire radio program with my little criticisms about sneezing.
Well, you know, I got to go blow my nose again, Mike, because Bruiser's, like, giving me, like, some sniffles here. So Bruiser kind of, like, sat on my lap and introduced to the show, and then away from it. It's like, hey. So now I've got, like, and Bruiser's now just like, yeah, it's screw you, man. You know, you're not giving me attention. You deserve it. So, Mike, tell us what's happening. You still in Europe? I guess Mike doesn't want to talk right now. I'm not sure what happened there. Okay, here's the issue we wanted to talk about. It's kind of on a rant level, but not a full rant level. And that's this idea of anti-Semitism again. And I've been harping on it a lot because I understand the strategies that Jewish people use in order to maintain power. And what we've been finding is that Jewish media has been pushing the anti-Semite, the Nazi, the Jew hater, all of these various types of language simply because they want to silence any type of dissent. Mike, are you back? No, he's not back. So, yeah, they're trying to really stifle everything. Here's the thing that's going on here. If you listen to this show and you really grasp this show, you get that there's a very rational, pragmatic way in which we are using the language. We're not these, like, we don't get raving mad and insane about, there's a pragmatism to what we do here. Very plain and simple. It's very pragmatic. But Jews understand more than you because they've crafted the reality is that there's a whole bunch of people, millions and millions and tens of millions of people who really don't have a clue that they live in this little bubble world created for them by Jewish people. Look, the media shapes reality. Hollywood and videos and movies shape reality, shape perception. And a lot of times what Jews have been doing with their media is they've been seeking to create how they want you to behave, how they want you to believe, what you should talk about, what's an acceptable paradigm within which to talk. For a lot of us, we've kind of figured it out, and we're no longer really playing the game. We're going along with it because, hey, it's part of the game. We just can't deny it in its entirety. But what you're going to find is that over the next few months, Jews are going to push this anti-Semite, anti-Semite, anti-Semite narrative more and more and more. And what we believe is happening is this. There is a fairly big war behind the scenes between various factions. You should not assume that all factions are working for Jewish people. You shouldn't assume that. You shouldn't presume otherwise equally, but you shouldn't just automatically assume that Jews are all powerful here. They're very powerful people. There are transdimensional forces at play here on this planet. It's very difficult to put your finger on to a reality that's never revealed to you. There is a secret side to this world. John F. Kennedy spoke about it. It's very etheric. It's very hard to put your finger on it. Maybe it's technologically involved. Maybe it's other types of life beings who are pulling the strings from behind the curtain. But there's always great good on the planet, and then there's always great evil. And you can't assume that everybody is just plain evil. You know, when we look at Trump recently –
You know, he talks about how I have full faith and confidence in America's intelligence community. Well, dude, there's no American intelligence community worth its salt right now. Now, you may have full faith and confidence in them, but that why? You know, why? These guys failed you on 9/11. America's intelligence community failed us on Saddam Hussein. They have failed us on the state of Israel. America's intelligence community has failed us on protecting our constitutional liberties. America's, quote unquote, America's intelligence community has had zero victories for the American people. These people have been complete failures to the American people. Now, if you're going to sit there and go on national television and read a script, half-heartedly, I might add, that says, oh, I have full confidence in the American intelligence community, and then the lights go out. Dude, it's the White House. It's the White House. Why are the lights going out in the White House at a specific key point? What do you got confidence in? And then Jewish media runs a bunch of stories. It's been lights out today for President Trump. Oh, that was a nice little meme, right? Oh, it's not lights out for the President Trump. Folks, there is nothing. I won't say nothing because I have, let's just say, cautious optimism about certain American intelligence. But what we have to do is hit home on the fact on a sport level, a home team level, that America's intelligence services are failures. Bottom line, if America were to be seen working for Americans as a baseball team, their perennial bottom dwellers, they've never succeeded. Folks, you had Jews. Okay, come on. You had Jews openly bragging about pulling off 9/11, openly bragging. But you don't have the power, you don't have the brains, you don't have the mentality and the steel to do anything about it. How can you tell us you're somebody that the American people should have faith in? I obviously, come on, it's 15 years. It was the biggest crime on planet Earth, basically, that we've ever witnessed on a single day. Broadcast to the world. Maybe they used directed energy weapons, who knows what, to bring those towers down. But what it did tell us, quite frankly, is that you in the intelligence community, you can't help the American people. You don't work for the American people. And Trump getting there half-heartedly talking about how, oh, I have full faith. No, he doesn't believe it any more than we do. Because the true American intelligence community, where is it? Where is it? Really, I found it fascinating, by the way that interview went down with Judge Jeanine and Whoopi Goldberg. And, oh, you took the deep state and tell us who's in control and when did it start? That was a loaded question, I swear. Totally loaded. Anyways, folks, there's not much American intelligence to be confident in, quite frankly. They all work for something other than the American people. It's very simple. Because if they work for the American people, we would be rounding up so many tens of thousands of Jews right now that you would hear anti-Semitism on a scale that you never heard in your life. And quite frankly, when that day comes, and should it come, and hopefully it will come, the last thing you should do is have the devil scream in your face and you be afraid to look it back. You need to focus on what is being done. These people are not nice people. They destroyed America. They have destroyed Western civilization. Look, Turkey right now, the state of Turkey, the country of Turkey, they have expelled over 130,000, 140,000 people from the government institutions of Turkey. We're talking about the military, the police, the education system, the court system, you name it, they have been expelled. Now, why on earth should we, the American people, not do the same thing to us, to the Jewish people here? I mean, think about it. Hold on 1 second. I think my cat and one eye's out the door. It's been a wild day here, folks. It's been a very wild day. Mike, are you back?
Yes, I am, Fetch. I apologize for all this techno stupidity on my part. I was trying to run two programs at once, and that's the reason we had this ridiculous echo. This wasn't Fetch's fault, folks. It was a historian's fault, and I'm trying to get off the hook with this.
Well, Mike,
in other words, yeah, I'm
welcome
sorry.
Welcome Inside the Eye Live, first of
hey,
all.
Hey, man, thanks. This is extemporaneous, isn't it? Extemporaneous.
Yeah, that's a word I like to use all the time.
I was just listening to you, brother, and when I heard you sneeze during the commercial, I just had to kid you about
that. Yeah, Bruiser's done that to me. I don't know if you saw the live stream, but Bruiser finally made it to the live stream. After all these years, you know, that showed up. Couldn't see much of his face there, but he was kind of cute. You know, he was looking with his long lip or his long tongue, so it was kind of fun.
Yeah, one eye just about made his exit from the earth, period, didn't he, the other day?
Yeah, you know, I don't know where he is now. I think I hear a cat at the door, and I don't know if it's the new kitten without a name or it's one eye. So as soon as the break comes in another 2-3 minutes, I'm going to go check the door.
Hey, you know, cats aren't like dogs. Maybe one eye's a girl. Maybe.
No, he doesn't have a gender problem, trust me.
maybe one eye is off having
kittens
somewhere.
There is no gender problems in the cat world, okay?
Hey, you know,
this guy is like an alpha male times two on steroids. I swear, there's not a cat he doesn't want to fight.
Hey, you know, your listeners, I do apologize for intruding, interjecting, interfering in this program today, but I was listening like the rest of the folks out there about Syria and Russia bringing in aid from France for the Syrians, and John McCain running loose, the criminal that he is, running loose in the United States. You're right. He should be in prison. Or we should just turn him over to Assad.
Well, this is the problem.
See what happens there.
I don't know if you heard, Mike, but we have in Arizona, did you know that the state legislature in Arizona made it a law to where none of the laws that they pass apply to them while the legislature is in progress?
Okay, yeah.
I mean, literally. So if they make a law that you can't go above 55, 65 on the freeway, and they are found to be doing 130, 140, they are basically they are allowed to do it, and the police can do nothing to them.
I fail to find this. What this has to do with John McCain, though. Fill me in on that.
Well, because John McCain's from Arizona, and, of course, he can do whatever he wants, and he doesn't have to worry about getting arrested either.
Okay, I just wish they'd pass a law there that you can't foment war, stoke war, like McCain has been doing. He's never met an American war fought for Israel that he didn't love, absolutely love and fight for. He's really, truly a traitor. A treasonous cockroach running loose to this very day.
And we have the laws already. Just as someone said, we've said it many times too, we just don't ever apply the law. We don't ever use these laws to do anything. So it's really a case where it's not really our fault because we don't have power. I mean, if I had power, I would just authorize his arrest and finish. Because that's what it boils down to, Mike. Somebody in the Justice Department just has to authorize the arrest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get the recommendation and just authorize it. Nobody does it. It's like, what a bunch of wimps. We're going into break. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Back before right after. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Just want to give you an updated cat report real quick. Brought to you by especially North Kakalaki Trading Post, good services and solutions for all creatures, great and small. One eye has finally returned after a 2-day hiatus. That was him screaming at the door, and I went to the door after the commercial started, and I opened up the door, and he's just sitting there looking up at the door saying, well, what took you so long? And I'm like, yeah, well, what took you so long, dude? Anyways, that's the updated cat report brought to you by North Kakalaki Trading Post, good services and solutions for all creatures, great and small, and by Blackbird 9 Trading Post. So don't forget to check out Blackbird 9 because he's got a great show. Mike Goodrich joining us from somewhere in Europe. Mike, how goes it?
Very good, Fetch. I'm not complaining.
That's a good thing. Have you been hanging out, hearing much about the Monica Schaefer, Alfred Schaefer? Are you linked to anybody working within that field? And can you give us any updates, or is that like beyond hope?
Yeah, I'm linked to a lot of folks. I get the same link, probably 10 or 20, it seems like, a day on this. And I honestly, they're so long, I can hardly read them all. But okay. It's interesting. While we talk, while we sleep, while we eat, while we have fun or sad, they're making history in Germany, Munich. Every time there's one of these trials, it's focusing on the government and its policies. In this case, of course, it's draconian policies. These are heroes. These are heroic individuals that are not only being tried, but those there who are supporting the people, who are lending logistics and help. These are heroes. I know several of them. Well, in fact, I think most of them. And sometimes it makes me think I'm doing absolutely nothing, basically. Taking a bike ride, going to the grocery store, buying some fruit juice, while these people are actually working their butts off for freedom and truth and justice.
That's not a fair statement.
I know it isn't. But
how many years did you work to put together Hellstorm? And that was a book that really had such an effect on a lot of people out there. You've already put in a lot of dues, man. You gotta give yourself some credit here.
Yeah, I'm really hard on myself, but still, Fetch, it's like this. I've got one whirl on this world, and sometimes it's hard for me to just sit down, relax, and do nothing or enjoy myself. Mm-hmm. I feel like I should be doing something. So many other people are that way. They feel like they ought to be doing something, and. I probably shouldn't go much further than that. I'm sounding pretty pathetic right now, but back to Munich. These people, well, they're my heroes. Hey, but back to, I think I've knocked the intellectual quality of this radio program down about 50 points here.
Oh, so. You can't do that one today.
Let me say.
Not today. You couldn't do that one today. Maybe on another day, but not today.
The whole thing, we haven't talked for quite a while. This whole Syria thing, that was quite a keister-kicking event, wasn't it? When Russia finally, and Assad, of course, and the brave Syrian soldiers just finally wrapped up the whole shebang.
Well, it's not. I mean, right now what's happening is they are rolling up what's known as Quneitra. And Quneitra is on the border with Israel. There has been a deal signed yesterday, basically forced upon the Israelis from what we understand, that is going to allow the Russians now to enter the UN zone of protection to make sure that all the fighters clear out. In other words, they don't want to see any of these Israelis, not Israelis, but they don't want to see any of these terrorists working, getting through the UN zones and then having the Israelis protect them and then reinvade. So they're going to, Israelis are going to have to allow the Russians into the UN monitoring posts. So then from there, they will then make sure that all of these rebels are kicked out and sent up to the Idlib province area, which will be like the last great Armageddon for Syria. This is going to be the last great one before we deal with the Americans and the Kurdish in the northeast. Mm-hmm. So that is coming up now. The text of this deal stipulates that there will be an establishment of a tripartite buffer zone 80 kilometers along the border and the exit of government forces after the defeat of Daesh. So we're going to have to just see how that works out. But things are moving in the direction of closing up now the Quneitra of Golan Heights area.
I have to ask you this. I've never figured it out, quite honestly. Never taken the time, I suppose, but a year ago, the Americans were laying out were bombing and strafing and shooting and missling for the ISIS, for the bad guys. We're protecting them.
For the most part, they still are.
They still are. Well, where do these reports come from, even from our side, that talk about them killing 50 ISIS militants, fighters, just the other day? Where do these come from?
From pretty much everywhere but the United States. I mean,
I'm so confused. I mean, when they say that they struck an ISIS strong point, killed 11 militants, did they or didn't they? And
well, for the most part,
the Americans were known to be dropping bombs in open desert. That was the wink, wink of America's air campaign, was they would go launch these sorties, but they would basically be dropping them in the desert and then flying back home so they didn't have the weapons on board. But they were basically, the United States has been one of the most inept and competent people going. Now, obviously, if they are serious, they're not so incompetent and so inept. But when it comes to dealing and fighting Daesh and cleaning this problem up, these are their children. They're not going to go harm their children. And these terrorists are the children of the CIA. So they're not going to do it, Mike. It's just not going to happen.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. At least now I know it's a lie. It's a simple lie when they talk about.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah, these are lies. They're just, oh, look what we did today. Thank you. Send us more money. $722 billion isn't enough money for us. We need more tax dollars from you. And of course, it's not really tax dollars. It's fiat money, you know, at the end of the day.
Okay. My next question to you is, to someone like myself sitting here, watching, observing, believing some of it and throwing most of it out, at what point does the U.S., Israel, and the rest of the goons out there that have created this mess, when do they finally say, that's it, that's enough, we're not going to spend another trillion on Syria? They've proven they're far, far, far better than we are, with Russian help, of course, and Iranian help. When are they going to admit defeat and then move on? I don't know where moving on is, I suppose.
I think the U.S. has largely admitted defeat, but they haven't publicly admitted defeat. But on a tactical level, I don't see a problem anymore. I mean, America told the U.S. Embassy here in Amman released a statement to the rebels up in southern Syria, basically saying you're on your own. Don't even think about calling on us. Make the best deal you can for you and your families, but do not think that the Americans are going to come to your aid. So forget it.
So okay.
In certain areas, America has already declared that it's lost. The next step is to get the Al-Tanf area cleaned up, and then the final step, really the next step is going to be Idlib. Idlib's going to be nasty because we're talking about thousands and many thousands of fighters that have nowhere else to go now. So you're going to have to deal with them, and they're not going to not deal with them. So, okay, you're going to have to deal with them, and we're talking thousands upon thousands. But the good thing is the rest of the country now is cleaned up. So now all of Syrian military might can be focused on Idlib. It's a mountainous area. It's very treacherous, difficult terrain to fight in. It's also good because it's hard for the Americans to work in there. Also, a lot of America's proxy leadership, there's been some very shadowy execution assassination campaign. So most of those American leaders up there have been executed. So it's going to be a case now where either the Americans are executing them, possible, or the Russian Spetsnaz, but somebody's doing it. And that was the next battle. I mean, for now, let's see how Kanatra, it's going to get cleaned up. No doubts about it. And then it's going to shift to Idlib, and we'll see how that's going to be a very difficult next phase of this war.
Okay. I would think that until this whole matter is cleared up, we're still in a situation where one screw up and we could still be facing World War III between Russia and the U.S.
I don't buy it. I'll be honest. Nobody's that stupid. The American military's stupid, but they ain't that stupid.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the false flag Israel.
I think if it got that bad, somebody just might spank Israel. Israel is not as powerful as they think. I mean, at the end of the day, Israel can't survive without the American military protecting their butts. They have their Samson option, but as far as I'm concerned, that should be neutralized by we, the Americans. We created this monster. We should take him out. I mean, but that's a case where we as nationalists, we are voicing that statement. Now, obviously, we're not in power, but that doesn't mean people don't listen to us. You know, so we're going to go ahead and keep talking about it. These people, the Israelis, are enemies of the American people. Plain and simple. I know I've talked to a lot of American military advisors that work inside of Israel, and they know these guys are, they're very nice people. And I believe that on a person-to-person level. You know, if you're helping train Mike, one of the fighter pilots that's flying for the IDF, and you get to know him, I bet you do say they're very nice people. And of course, I will tell you the same thing about the Saudis. I've spent years around the Saudi military and got to know them and who they are. And for the most part, I'll tell you, they're very nice people. So I understand the mentality.
But, you know, nobody has attacked America like Israel. So Israel's our enemy.
I would think all Israelis would be lovely folks with Americans. I think they should be on their knees telling them thank you. And because they not only get us to fight their wars and die in their wars, but to pay for those damn wars. So, yeah, they should be extremely grateful to us. I was on a plane coming back from some – I forget exactly where I was coming back from. But a bunch of soldiers were on there. I happened to be sitting beside an officer, and we got to talking, and I said, where are you coming from? They come from Israel. And I thought, I didn't follow up. I didn't snoop through there, but he, as if it were second nature. We're coming from Israel. So, I mean, not that there's anything terribly wrong coming from another nation, but it was the almost the understood that that's where we're coming from, as if that's their homeland now or that's their second military base. But at some point, Russia and their thrashing of these cutthroats in Syria that were trying to overthrow a legitimate government at the behest, of course, of Israel, at the behest of America, at the behest of Saudi Arabia. The Russians, is it any wonder why I'm sure that if Putin was running for American president, he'd probably win tomorrow. Because
I think Putin would run if he ran in any country that he would win. And I think he would win in the UK. He would win in Germany. I think he would even win in Germany. I think he would win in Germany.
The last white man standing. Of course we would vote for him. I mean, he's a man. He's a leader. He's a strong individual.
What do you think, though? You know, you've got some people on our side, per se. You know, I don't like to say our side like that. It kind of sounds silly to me. But nonetheless, who kind of like work with within our field, they say Putin runs America. Putin is Putin was behind the terror war inside of Syria and things of that nature. You ever hear these comments coming from some of these people?
No, but isn't it a little bit like, the papal people or the Catholics or the reptilians or some trying to put the blame anywhere but where it should really be, and that's with Israel right now, the Jewish power grid in the world. No, they're running the show in the U.S., and the U.S. is the greatest sponsor of terrorism in the world. So it's as simple as that. I'm not going to make something so simple, complex. It's right there in front of our faces. And to assume crazy nonsense about, Putin doesn't run America. Israel runs America. Jewish power grid runs America. And perhaps they run Russia, too. I'm not let's put it this way. I'm on the wrong program to be talking like this because I just don't have enough time to focus on current events or political events that are going on. You know, as a historian, generally I deal with the past, and here we're talking about the future, and I'm trying to sound intelligent. I can't. I simply – but
just like I do this equally.
I listen to you, and it's like somebody finally figures this thing out that we're going through right now. This whole thing. I listened to you Thursday night on the Late Show. That was wonderful. You put it in such a way that even in ignoramuses like myself, who know very little about the Middle East right now, what's going on, I understand it. I get it.
You know what's interesting about that is I've had some people call me from America after that show, and I thought that wasn't such a good show. You know, it didn't go so well. And they said, man, that was great. And I'm like, what are you so excited about, dude? I said, you know, they were talking mainly about the commentary about the anti-Semitism. We've been running this narrative over the past 6 weeks about how everything is anti-Semitic, everything is a Nazi. Even Tucker Carlson is talking about it. You know, it's starting to make it into the mainstream. And they're saying that's the mood on the street now. People, Americans, are getting fed up literally about every other day being called a Nazi. Every other day they're being called an anti-Semite. Every other day there's some type of slur from the Jewish community, not necessarily from the Jews. They don't understand it came from the Jews even initially. They don't realize this, you know, that stupid knucklehead social justice war is just mouthing Jewish talking points. They're not that smart. They're not there yet, in other words, Mike, but they're getting tired of it. They're starting to see it. It's hard to hide.
So critical mass.
Getting tired of it. It's like, what's with this calling everybody an anti-Semite all of a sudden? Why is the media so in? And what we really believe is that this Jewish monstrosity that controls us right now, they're all in, Mike. They are looking for the coup de grace now. They do not want to wait 5 years. They don't want to wait 10 years right now. They feel their time has come. It's time to control the goy, and gosh darn it, they're going to make it happen now. And they're just going all in, and a lot of Americans and people of the West haven't figured it out yet.
They're making the same mistake they've made throughout the entire history, their entire history, this overstepping the bounds, this rush to win, this rush to get things over with quickly. And this anti-white hatred now that's going around the earth, everybody's starting to this is starting to seep into every white person. We're starting to feel this, understand this. This is not a joke. These are real words, these hatred words, these words about destroying us, of what is this, ho, 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 Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas is white genocide or something like that. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Well, this crap does sift into our conscience, and suddenly we start believing this stuff, that there is a concerted effort to end our existence out there. Now, this is what's disturbing to me. This is what I don't understand about the Jewish nature. Where are the people to shut these people up, these ones that are giving it all away, that are saying what other Jews are thinking? Basically, we have to destroy the last white person. Then we'll take over and have it all our own. Why won't they shut those people up? Because they've got it going all their way right now. Or at least it was until the internet came along. But why cannot they see how much damage these big mouth individuals, generally they seem to be professors in universities. Of course, in the media, we've got plenty of those people. But it's the classic case of them overstepping their bounds. They can't keep their mouths shut. They're saying what they're thinking, and we're hearing it more and more with the internet. Yeah, you better believe we're hearing it by the millions. And we're taking it very damn serious, too. And I'm going to tell you what, unless enough Jews get together and shut the pie holes up of these loudmouths, it's going to be very bad for them. Things are going to get really, really tough.
I'll be honest. I don't think they know how to shut up. You know, they've reached such a mass of control that they believe by shouting anti-Semite, they can really stop any and all criticism. And so they have the media. They know that. They have the police. They know that. They train our police. You know, let's be honest. How many of our police forces are trained by the ADL or through programs developed by the ADL and the Israelis? They buy and control our politicians. Many of the institutions of the federal government are in their hands. They don't feel that there is a need right now for them to be quiet anymore. It's their time to move. It's never going to be better than now. They have everything. What more do they need, they're thinking. So now we just need to get the stupid goy to just shut up and surrender. And we're not surrendering. There's still those elements and pockets of resistance. Italy is a case in point. What's going on in Munich is a case in point. The British, for the most part, seem to have laid down. Americans, no, we haven't. Trump was just a step, and it said that something like 10 to 20% of Trump supporters are either nationalists or just a step away to becoming full-blown nationalists. Well, of course, we need to convert that to nationalism. So it's a case where I think they can't have it better, so they just keep going.
Fitch, I probably my fingers to the pulse even better than yourself, given where you're coming from. You're in the Middle East. And I've got to tell you, I don't think you truly appreciate what's going on right now in white circles. And I'm not just talking about the ones that have always been there. I'm talking about people. Somebody's going to make a very big mistake here. And the more it occurs, this more anti-white hatred that filters around the world. I could say some things, and I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but man, I feel it, I see it, I hear it, I sense it, that something very big is about to happen. I'm not saying any moment now, or any month.
I don't know if you saw this story coming out of the UK
I said critical mass, and I mean critical mass. I mean, one morning we wake up and it's very serious.
Well, it can't. I'm let's hope it comes sooner than later. But did you hear the story about what happened in the UK?
No.
They basically, a bunch of British guys got together, some good, strong, and you need, that's what we need. Unfortunately, wars, unfortunately, are fought by the younger men. They went out and they started to do a Christian patrols in a Sharia area.
Mm-hmm.
And inside of the UK. And then the Muslims in the area were up in arms. It's like, hey. You want to go around like you own this country and you want to have your Sharia patrols? Well, welcome to the UK. These are called Christian patrols. Now shut up, because you tell us to do the same.
And white people are doing this with all the power of their governments against them, all the power of the world, so to speak. And they're still doing that. Imagine when some of these power centers like Germany start loosening up a little bit just because of attrition, just because things are getting tight among them. Imagine that, when more people can actually come out and do things without risking 5 years in prison. No, things are extremely exciting. I live in Europe. I don't know if you told the listeners or not, but I live here. And so I'm in a pretty good position. I think Europe's rising at this moment right now. Europe is rising, not a doubt in my mind.
I know the Italians for sure, Poles, Hungary, Austrians for sure. We still have way too much pro-Israel stuff in these circles.
It's just,
but obviously,
ephemeral.
We have to take the
superficial.
Yeah, we got to take. You think so? Huh?
Yes, and ephemeral. Yes, I truly do. Yes, they've done so much and said so much that no, our limit is almost reached. It just seems great right now, but nope. Not a bit. Maybe that's where being a historian helps
French.
Me.
Real quick, the French with them winning the World Cup. How did that go down? Obviously, the World Cup, as you now know, being overseas, it's a huge event to the local.
Personally, I was a little stunned by how underwhelmed the French people were. The white French. Yeah, you had the president. You had this traitor coming out. But, it's...
Mike, we'll have to come back and just have this chat. Run away. Yawn. Thanks for coming up.
Yeah. My pleasure, Professor.
All right. Thanks, man. That's Mike Goodrich, everybody. Author of Elsa. He's got new books out. Summer 1945. Welcome back. It's Fetch Inside the Eye. Live intelligent media for the politically aware right here on Revolution Radio. At revolution.radio. I believe I did that correctly. Anyways, it's a good Saturday morning to you in the West Coast. Good Saturday evening, I guess. Not evening. Good Saturday afternoon to those of you on the East Coast now. And a good evening, I guess, to most of you in European Asian time zones, at least where I'm at. It's now 7 o'clock. I don't know. I'm having kind of a fun time. That was fun bringing Mike on. We're supposed to have Jan Lamprecht on today, but it was a very late schedule to try to put this all together, so I don't see that he's actually checked in yet. So we're just going to keep rolling along. If he says hello, we will bring Jan Lamprecht on from South Africa, but if not, that's okay. We're just going to keep moving here. Just coming in about 40, 50 minutes ago, as we continue to cover some of this, the ultimate fall of Quneitra to the Syrian government forces, but they have just captured today now the highest point in Quneitra. And once they get this point secured, it's actually secured now, now the next step would probably be to put in some surveillance equipment like radars and things like that. And once you put some radar up there, the Israelis may try to knock it out, of course. That's the way the Jews are. They don't think you should have any right to have any of your own materiel in your own country. But nonetheless, look to have radar systems being put into play up in these areas. And once that is done, folks, the Syrian government is going to be able to monitor literally all air traffic within Syria, within Israel. And that would, of course, be a very positive development for the Syrian government, because right now they can't actually see Israeli aircraft take off And once they get this radar up in place, if they can get some radar into these regions up in the Quneitra Mountains, they're going to be able to actually see Israeli aircraft taking off. And that will provide Syrian air defenses with even a greater buffer within which to fight back against this real criminal atrocity known as the State of Israel. And we can only hope and wish the best for a people fighting for their freedom, as are the Syrians. And let's see here. I got a call coming in. 708 area code. Hi. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hello, Mr. Fetch.
Hello.
Good good to hear from Mr. Goodrich. He's, he is hard on himself, and many of us are. That's what keeps the good guys in check, you know?
Well, you know, that's true. Nobody's harder on ourselves than ourselves, right?
That's right. That's what keeps us in check, and that's all, you know.
That's what keeps us, you know. That's what keeps us being the best, okay? Because we're always right. on ourselves and everybody else.
Well, I'd rather be hard on myself. That way, if anybody else comes, I can say, well, I realize that. I know. Or I can defend myself because, I'm already hard enough on myself, so where you're coming from is out of line, pal. You know what I mean?
That's true, too.
So, anyway.
Anyways, yeah.
How are things? You're in Chicago? How are things? It's rainy, gloomy. You know, the weather has been up and down from hot and smuggy to cool and wet. Mm-hmm. It's, I believe it. Same things happen all across the U.S. There's lots of floodings in different parts of the U.S. and the world. There's a thing they're calling the Grand Solar Minimum. I advise people to start checking that out. It's in effect as now. It won't be until detrimental effects for upwards of 10 years from now, but it's going to be pretty bad. People will start, it's opposite of global warming, put it that way. It's the actual real truth of what's happening with our planet.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, but right now, it's really warm out there. It seems like right now everything is warm, but I have to wonder just how much of that has to do with geoengineering.
Well, that and the whole thing is the sun, that star there, is breaking down. And what's happening is the UV rays are a lot stronger. Like, they're actually able to read the UV rays on the ground. Like, read them. Sure. Now, the problem here is you're not supposed to be able to read UV rays on the ground. So it means it's stronger and it's harsher on your skin and whatnot. People should protect themselves from the sun and whatnot. So, I don't know. Just a little.
I'll tell you, here in Amman, we don't have the chemtrailing. We don't have any of that geoengineering stuff. And it's been fantastic. We actually have white, billowy clouds blowing through today. And these, of course, are coming off the Mediterranean. They fly over Israel, fly through us. So it's really been nice. And I'm 3,000 feet up in the air with some fresh air. It's been a really, really nice summer day today, man. I almost want to just go outside and just relax and just ignore and forget everything for the day.
Oh, good luck with that. Here, since we are on revolution.radio, freedomslips.com, Thursday evenings in United States time, I would say 10 p.m. Eastern time, 10 to midnight, there is a broadcast on Studio A. It's called Adapt 2030, a mini Ice Age conversation. Dave Levine, I get his last name mixed up sometime, but people should check that out. Get the revolution.radio archives or listen to it live via the listen line if they're able or through the interweb. Yeah, and that will talk about this in depth, this grand solar minimum, among other things.
No, I've actually looked into that. It's really interesting research that's being done on this mini Ice Age stuff. It is actually fascinating. I actually like this stuff. You know, it's not my show. You know what I mean? And people don't come to hear that, but I like to look into this stuff. So if there's somebody doing something interesting on a mini Ice Age, that might be worth the listen. Just break from the politics for a little bit. Because there are other things going on in this world besides politics, that's for sure.
Well, the phrase, keep your head on a swivel, it means you got to keep a 360 view of everything that's going around us, us here in this world of ours. And, you know, I mean, not just
not just the politics, not just the weather, not just whatever. It's food, it's money, it's, you know, it's your neighbor, you know, it's all sorts of things. So keep your head on a swivel is a great term. So for what's coming at you or what's going away from you, either way you want to look at it. I wanted to bring up the ethnostate of Israel and their official announcement that they're going to be apartheid. How about that one?
Yeah, I've heard something about that, you know, a little bit. Netanyahu basically coming out and saying that, you know, Israel is going to be a Jewish-only state and take it or lump it. We don't care what you say anymore. And I think that was even covered in the maybe even the New York Times, something like that. But
the way I view it, they're just making it official. They've already been this way. Yeah, they're an ethnostate. This is what they've been.
So basically, yeah, it's going to be very difficult for people to try to tell us that, hey, you're not an apartheid state. But the issue now is for our nations, the Germans, the French, you can even say the Americans. I'm not fully sure where you stand on these issues, but the British. You know, if they're going to tell people that, hey, Jews need a right to self-determination, we should say, okay, you've already been granted that right. Now give us that right. Get the hell out.
Yeah, but does Lucifer grant that right of self-determination? I thought that was only in the Christian community, because apparently the right to self-determination under our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and our rights, our God-given rights, apparently that's been a bad thing. But now all of a sudden they're announcing a right to self-determination. Does Lucifer offer that? I didn't believe he did.
Well, it's not that they're demanding that we recognize it. I mean, they're demanding that if you don't, you're a legal anti-Semite. And then, of course, once you get legal anti-Semite definition approved, who knows what they can do to you because they don't recognize it.
Well, I believe with many of us, many, not all, many, you know, have recognized that they believe they can do whatever the heck they want. So what's this any different?
Yeah, well, we are engaged, though, in this linguistic lunacy where they're, you know, I don't know. Maybe you can support it. But I heard the street in America is really getting frustrated, upset, kind of pissed off with the way they're attacking words, the way they're trying to redefine what is and isn't reality here. And it's just starting to really frustrate people that they're having to deal with this. And the last piece that's missing now is who's behind it. They now see the agenda. That's in the day now. The last element now is to say who's behind it. And a lot of Americans just haven't been willing to go that extra step and really look to see who's behind it. They just idea of a monopoly on the media hasn't grasped that that's possible. Not sure exactly how to word that, but that seems to be what's happening. Is that kind of how it's happening?
Well, perhaps people are feeling it, but many aren't expressing it. You know, I'm here in Chicagoland, and I come across, you know, all different colors and creeds and religions and whatnot, and really ain't nobody talking about it. And, you know, they get it. And if I try to bring up something, they get annoyed by it. And they, you know, I come across people all the time who still, well, Trump this, Trump's bad, and I don't like the way he tweets, and oh my gosh, look at this Russia thing, you know. So they're uninformed. I don't. They turn on the nightly news. They're still getting the Talmudic media stuff. I try to turn them on the Revolution Radio or other stuff or podcasts where they would explain it better, because there's only so much I believe. You know, some people with authoritative, you know, some type of authoritative nature. There's only so much I can express. But man, the pushback, and they don't want to hear it. They'll turn on their music. They love their music. They love their beer. They love their, you know, medical marijuana cards, you know. So really these conversations aren't happening. And anytime I bring it up, you know, people think I'm extreme. And as polite as I try to be about it, you know, just slip it in here, slip it in there. It isn't really likely here on TV. You know, again, that's the Talmudic media we hear a lot about. And they're like, oh, these people are in outrage and they're rioting and they're protesting. And, you know, if they actually took the camera out of like a condensed focus and took an overview, there's probably 40 people there out of, and then they're trying to make you believe there's 1,000, you know. It's just all smoke and mirrors, you know. So, again, too many people are still asleep, and most of the people that are awake are tuned into these broadcasts, such as the Inside the Eye Live and Revolution.Radio and whomever else they can get their ears or eyes in tune to.
Now,
go ahead.
Where we do see, though, a shift is in the comment sections in the media. You know, for instance, regarding the Israeli story that you brought up, you know, the quote here from Netanyahu, this is our state, the Jewish state. Today we made it law. This is our nation, language, and flag. But when you look at some of the comments, like it's time Israel has to go it alone. I am disgusted that a people who were once the subject of persecution worldwide could so easily turn around to become the persecutor. Enough, writes somebody on a comment. And that, I think, is where the battle is really being waged, is we keep being hit with this Talmudic media. But not everybody, but I do see a lot of pushback now on the comment sections. People are not just sitting still. But yeah, when you go into the mainstream public, you know, Joe Blow public, I hear the same thing you're saying from people. You know, once you try to talk to people, it's difficult. People just don't want to hear reality right now. They want to just stay in their cocoon. It's safe. It's happy. And please don't talk to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like comment sections. That's why a lot of these, you know, because of comment sections and because people are outspoken, or I see a good YouTube or something else, and I'll send those links off. I say, look, focus, and I'll even copy some of the comments to get them started and reprint them in the email or my mailing list or whatnot. And then I'll say, look at these comment sections, and bam, you'll just see it. And then you'll have the occasional pushback where you can obviously see they're a plant or just totally mind controlled, or, you know, total Zionist, or however you want to put it. And but a lot of these references get rid of their comment sections just because of that. They don't want anybody knowing that, you know, people aren't really buying it. So
that's true. And if you look at the comments, folks, and you actually take the time to go make the effort, everything counts. It's all cum. It's all reach. It's everything reaching the eyes and the ears and the minds of other people. These people, they don't have a whole lot of rebuttal left. I mean, they are down to an army of idiots, quite frankly, that cannot think about all they know how to do nowadays. Say, oh, you're a vile anti-Semite, and it's a good thing Israel has guns because of anti-Semites like you. And I'm like, well, yeah, okay, that's a good one. You know, I'm like, yeah, well, okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the whole game. Repeat the lies. You repeat the lies enough, then people start to believe it. And that's all they got. They got to keep repeating the lies. They can't let off the lies. And of course, you know, they throw out racist, anti-Semite, the make believe white supremacists. I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a white supremacist. I promise you, there isn't. It's another made up word, just like xenophobe, just like racist. Just like this other stuff, they just got to keep repeating the lies because that's all they got. The lies work so good for so long.
Once Trump went to Russia, there seemed to be a doubling down on all of this nonsense. They're really, really pushing Nazis.
Do you know who's making all that noise? It's all the people that are guilty. It's all the people that have committed. These are all the Bolsheviks. The Bolshevik collaborators and the Muslim Brotherhood collaborators and all this other stuff. These are the guilty ones. They have to keep crying, because if they cry loud enough, then you can't hear the truth. So they got to keep interrupting the truth with the lies. But you know what? They can't stop it. That Putin meeting with Trump and Putin meeting was a good thing. And Putin, in the end there, and I don't know if you heard this one, that Putin may have passed Donald Trump information that he has on the back end, like stuff like Trump has his NSA and so on, that where he gets all these emails and phone calls and whatever he can get through text messages and so on. So he's got all this stuff here. But Putin, you know, they're still running, you know, every nation spies on each other. And Putin was involved because they were doing Uranium One and this other stuff, and they were dealing with Russia, and, you know, all these, Hillary Clinton dealing with Russia, Obama dealing with Russia, you know, all these other people dealing with Russia. So they've been gathering this intelligence. They never stopped gathering intelligence. That's their job as a government, you know, as a nation, to protect themselves. So they get the dirt, just like every other nation gets the dirt. So Putin turned around and gave like a terabyte of information to Trump that Trump may or may not have, and to fill in some more pieces of the puzzle. So these people are way up a creek, man. That's why they never wanted to meet. You know, it's like,
let's say there's a third person. Okay, you know people, and there's a third person. And people keep saying, "You know, don't talk to them. You don't want to talk to them because they're bad," and so on and so forth. And oh, they do this and they do that. But you know, and they're always trying to keep you apart. But one day you run into this person and you talk to them, and it's nothing like it seems, because there's a regular person. Here's a metaphor. You know that old house on the end of the street where the old lady lives, and she's a witch, and don't go there because she eats children and so on and so forth. And so, you know, if your ball goes in her yard, forget about it. You can't go there. Well, that's what this is. But then one day the old lady comes out and she's doing her gardening, and she says, "Oh, how are you doing?" And you start talking to her. And next thing you know, she's paying you to weed her yard. But she's a beautiful person. But all the kids in the neighborhood just created this ghost story about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I've been around people like that. It's a common thing in the Middle East. They want to always divide you. Don't talk to this person. Don't say this. Don't do that. And they want to be like the go-between everybody and keep the tension and the fighting going so that nobody can make any type of progress. And it's common here in the Middle East, quite frankly. It's a very common thing to see.
So, well, and that's what they needed, and that's what's kept them empowered. That's why they've been able to get away with so much. You know, the whole Cold War, as far as I'm concerned now, and what I've learned, the whole Cold War was a fraud. You had the Bolsheviks in Russia, and you had the Bolsheviks in America, and they said they came up with this nice plan, and they sucked a bunch of money for all this military-industrial complex and all the defense and all that money, and many people got wealthy, and, you know, the big villain, Russia, but they weren't talking about real Russians. They were just talking about the Bolshevik Russians, you know, the communism.
That's dropped.
Yeah, that's now that this is dropped.
Every time I hear Russian, they must be talking about the Bolsheviks who came from Russia to us. It is still Russian. They're not lying to you, but they're just not telling you the full truth. And that, I think that's how they've been getting away with this Russian thing. Because if you lie.
Go ahead.
Yeah, if you lie on the media, you know, they've already done their studies. They're very smart, crafty people. They know that if you lie and you do not put that convincing face up front, which is normally your paid presenters, no one's going to believe it. So that paid presenter has to believe the story, or else people are going to instinctively understand it's a lie. It's not going to work. That's why all of these paid presenters really don't know anything. As long as they look like they believe it, that's all they care. In this case, so by saying Russia, 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 they're not lying. They're telling the truth. They're just not telling you the whole truth. Yes, it is Russian, but it's not Russian. It's Bolshevik. You know what I mean? But
yeah. Putin said it himself. I sent you the article that Putin said himself a few months back, that he was like, "Yeah, these are people in Russia, but they're not real Russians. These are more like the Jews, the Jewish Russians."
Yes,
I sent you an article on it through the Skype a few weeks ago. But so I've been defining lately, this is how I've been defining things. I got real Americans, okay? You have your real Americans, people that believe in this nation, you know, Christianity, morality, you know, believe in prosperity.
Fairness.
You know, health and prosperity, you know, and then you have your real Russians. These are the people that, you know, finally were able to get enough power, were empowered by the fall of the Soviet Union. Then they gained their power because of that veil dropping to stand up as real Russians. But they're divided from the Bolshevik Russians, who are still there and who are still giving Putin a headache, working from the inside to tear Russia down and to still strip it of its wealth and its decency and so on. You know, as we know, recently Russia has declared itself a Christian nation. They built over 5,000 Christian churches.
Yes.
So you can see where they're coming from there. And those are real Russians trying to get back to their roots, the roots of the Tsar, who defended Russia against evil. They were the defenders against Lucifer. But when they took down the Tsar, that's when Lucifer, those defenders, the whole thing just started. That's where it all started. That's where their superpowers started being created.
Again, the Russians know what happened to them. I mean, the Americans don't appreciate what the Russians know. And I know Putin, they like to say Putin's in bed with the Kabbalah, and yes, Kabbalah's strong, but I don't quite buy it. I think Russia has done a marvelous job turning itself around, and they're not doing it by following a Jewish playbook. They're following a nationalist playbook, and you can't look at reality and just
try to pretend it doesn't exist here. Like you said, 5,000 churches, a return to Christianity, putting Christians, not that I'm even Christian, but I understand its role. And, you know, we don't have to be Christian to even believe in Christian ethics, obviously. The ethics are still there. I believe in it equally, whether you're Christian or not. And some religions don't have these ethics, no matter what you do to them. Mm-hmm. So,
well, also got to be aware, you know, Russia, as much as we want to, because they would be great allies, these two great large nations, superpowers of the world. Russia's land is they're 10% of the earth, you know, landmass. And there's many resources there. Unfortunately, they only have, what, 118 million Russians there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I got to get...
But there's still... Well, let me finish this real quick. So there's still the largest two white populations on this planet Earth, and they need us to go to war together to do what they did in the Civil War, World War One, World War Two, and to kill more white people. You know, but all at the same time, as I say all this, we still got to be aware of Russia. You do know Netanyahu's been flying in and out of Russia meetings for what? I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going on between Putin and Netanyahu. Maybe he's just trying to keep everything on even keel, Putin. But they still talk. They still work together. You know.
So you're not.
We always got to be careful. But you know, the enemy, our enemy, is our friend. You know.
Yes. Let me run along. We got another call come online. Thanks for the call, Stuff. Thanks for filling the time. Stay tuned through the break, caller. There, and we'll be back. This is the Fetch at the IPL's meeting for the political. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Let's go right out to the 704 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Yeah, hello. Fetch, how you doing?
I'm fine, Frank. How are you?
Good. That was an interesting conversation you guys just had. I thought at one point I really wanted to make the presenters, as you call them, I agree with you. I don't think that they're necessarily the smartest people in the world. They tend to probably be more along, you know, as far as personalities and whatnot, they're probably more lean sociopathic and psychopathic. I don't think they're interested in any kind of personal integrity. I don't think they're invested or interested in personal integrity.
No, I think, honestly, Frank, for the most of them, they're just Americans, just too stupid. I don't want to say they're too stupid, but they're just doing their job. Look, there's your script.
Okay. That's where I wanted to disagree with you, though. Okay. I think they are acutely, and I've actually seen anecdotal examples of this locally. The ones typically that are successful, I've even heard them state live on air that they are acutely aware of who runs the business of radio and who they have to police.
Well, that would make sense. That would be naive. Yeah, that would be naive of me to think that they don't know that. That's for sure.
Okay, great. Yeah. Hey, that was an interesting conversation. Who was the caller?
I think something Chicago Brewery. I think it is. I hope I'm right, but
Chicago Brewery.
He goes by Chicago Brewery.
Does he have his own show?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I'm not aware of it. If so, he'll certainly update me, but he usually does a good job semi-helping in the backside also when things aren't going well. He's very familiar with the Revolution Radio format, so he's sometimes on the ball telling me that, hey, you're in a break, man. Slow down. Stuff like that.
I see. Okay. Yeah, he's spot on. So, okay. Well, I'll get out of your way. Hey, bye. I don't know if I should bring this up or not, but what happened to Vera?
I don't know.
I heard her call in like a couple of months.
You know, I've changed my website, you know, to a new hosting company. And in the process, the emails didn't get cut over right. Not the fault of our tech guy. It's the fault of the technology involved with the previous hosting company. So I'd have to, like, download everything. And I have downloaded a lot of this stuff, but I haven't uploaded the contact list from the old servers. So everybody out there, it would be nice if you just sent me an email and check in again, because I've changed hosting companies and I don't have all your emails anymore. So Vera, I'm sure, is listening. I see her from time to time pop on the website through the back end, you know, because I see where people come from typically if they're not masked. You know, everybody has the tracking cookies in the websites, you know, so we know where you come from typically. And so I just...
She says it's Chicago brew, not brewery, by the way. Just brew.
Okay.
But no, Vera's around. She's around. I just don't know where she's at, but she's around. So Vera,
by the way, did you hear this story? Somebody texted it to me this morning, and I heard another mention of it earlier. George Herbert Walker Bush's cardiologist was fatally shot and killed while he was riding a bicycle by another. I think the perpetrator was also on a bicycle with a gun, and apparently the cardiologist, the way I hear it, also had a gun, but I guess he was unable to defend himself. But George Herbert Walker Bush's cardiologist, I think it's a mainstream news story, so that sounds like the stuff you know, you'd find in a Tom Clancy novel, and also the Secret Service agent I might have mentioned before. I'm hearing wild-eyed speculation, and I don't know. I can't verify it, but I hear one story that he was a food taster for President Trump, the guy, the Secret Service agent that died. And then I hear another story that there was a paraglide or parasail that was flying over restricted area there in Scotland where Trump was, and they tracked him down later and arrested him, but I don't know what's happened to him since. But anyway, those are just some things I figured I'd throw out.
Interesting.
Could just be speculation.
Didn't hear about those. So
all right.
All right, thanks, Frank. And thanks for the email, by the way. Good to hear from you. All right, everybody. I want to report, you know, immigration, of course, remains to be a hot button here. And, you know, with the literally what's been happening to Europe is it's been a planned, forced, it's been human trafficking, to put it short. You know, literally they've trafficked in probably in the last 4 or 5 years about 5 million people, mostly men. And most of these men are of fighting / reproduction age. And that's raised a lot of eyebrows, of course. It's created a lot of crime, things of this nature. But just today or just this week, I want to say today, but there was an explosion upon one of these migrant trafficking boats, human trafficking boats. It was overcrowded. 43 people have died. It was bound from Morocco to Spain. It blew up in the Alboran Sea. I'm not exactly even sure where that is. The captain's decision to press on while the boat was actually taking on large amounts of water is what caused it. Basically, the engine room had become somewhat filled. As it starts to fill up, the gases, the diesel fumes and all this, I guess, start to accumulate. And there was a spark and it blew the boat up. Reports suggested around 10 migrants did survive. And the boat's captain, who is a Senegalese man, known only as what, 13? That's bizarre. Or B, is under investigation for homicide by UCRIF, whatever that is, which is a branch of the national police. The investigation will also aim to shed light on the criminal gang's responsibility and hold them responsible, things like that. But nonetheless, you know, these types of things, folks, we have not even tongue in cheek. But I'm not saying you have to torpedo these boats with people on board. But certainly, if you are involved in a lot of illegal activity like human trafficking, I don't see why European governments should not start to take these ships down. I don't care if you board them, take them over, do whatever you have to do. But folks, there's no excuse to allow your nations to be absolutely overrun by migrants when no other country in this world would ever, ever tolerate this type of stupidity. And that's really what we're getting down to, is a type of stupidity. You know, they have just recently passed a law. And what it is that Israel is purely a Jewish state. So only Jews have a right to self-determination. And I think right now is one of the strategies we should decide on is that, look, Jews do not represent us Western people. They are not white. They are not Western. They are not of our culture. They do not appreciate, nor do they respect our heritage. And the time has come for Jews to respect our rights to self-determination. And we should have every right in the world to end what they could we call the emancipation and begin the process of purging Jews from positions of power inside of Western Europe. There's simply no excuse at this stage for Jews to be able to determine the direction of the British people. There's no reason for Jews to lord over the direction of the German people. Enough is enough. We've heard their stories and their whines and their kvetching about European history. And they like to call all the time on European history and how everybody owes Jews something because of European history. And then in the same breath, they don't even want us to investigate exactly what this history is, which is kind of like saying, hey, do what we tell you to do or you're going to be a criminal. How do we allow this type of arrogant ignorance in our lands? How is it that we allow an intolerant, bigoted, racist, xenophobic Jewish people? Hey, how do you Jews like it, huh? But how do we allow you racist, xenophobic Jewish bigots to decide laws for the Western nations? I just don't see how this is going to work long term. Jews are showing themselves to be enemies, not just of the United States, but of humanity at large. It says here, the nation state of the Jewish people has confirmed the divide between liberal Jews and non-liberal Jews. And the truth of the matter is, there's about 5 liberal Jews. This liberal Zionist idea is oxymoronic. It's just dumb. They're not going to decide between Israel and everybody else and just watch the writing on the wall. Some person says that he remembered being in London at a pro-Palestinian meeting all the way back in 2001, and a Jewish lady telling all, and this Jews will do this. I've been in LA, you know, with Jews at some of these big political gatherings, and they'll be up there with their signs, "Oh, I'm a Jew, and never again, and never again." But anyways, she's sitting there talking about how telling the multitude all the way back in 2001 that Israel could not be boycotted because of the Jewish history in Europe. Well, again, you don't even let us investigate this history. You jail people for questioning this history. You jail people for doing anything to expose this history. And then you're going to tell us we can't even boycott you, even though we can't even check to see that your story even makes any sense. I wasn't there and all the way back in time, and I don't trust you Jews with your stories. You're a terrible witness for me. Every time, folks, remember this because it's so critical. You sit on the jury of time. That's history. History presents facts. It presents information. But we all know that not all the information is correct. We know it's forged. We know it's fabricated. We know that the victors often play up their role and demonize the role of the side or the defeated side. We know this happens. So let's use some common sense. When a Jew says, "You have to believe me because I said so and because I'm a Jew," you just say, "Well, really? Well, you have to believe me because I'm an American and I don't have time to believe you. I don't need to believe you. You need to prove to me." And having some stupid book written in 1952 with a ballpoint pen and forcing me as a kid to read that in high school and using that to abuse me, because that's it. What that was an abuse of my naivete at 17. You owe me an apology. All of you Jews owe me an apology. Well, how dare you sit there when I'm 17 and you force this crap onto me? You make it sound like it's real. And some of you people in the Jewish community know it's a freaking fraud. And yet you want me to sit there and now give you the time of day as now I figured things out later on in life? No, I don't think so. I think it's time we tell people straight up no, 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 and no. Jews can't stand that word unless, of course, they're the ones in power and you want something from them. The prime minister says that the state of Israel, that's Israel, exists for Jews. This is our state again. The prime minister has made it real easy now for liberal Jews to come out of their closets and see Israel for what it is. Okay, look, Jews, now's your chance. You want to talk about a big, tough game about democracy and representative folks? Personally, I don't care. Quite frankly, I don't care about Israel. Israel tomorrow can wilt away into the winds of history and just drift away, and the planet's really going to be better off for it. Now, what do we do with these really evil people that make up the nation of Israel? That's a different thing. Should they be left to be just slaughtered?
I don't know. They seem to think it's okay to do to everybody else. So I guess if we're going to apply Jewish logic to this, there should be no mercy to Jewish people. That's Jewish logic. Now, do we want to be that way? Do we want to be Jewish here? No, not exactly. But we certainly don't want them being involved in our political processes. We don't want them involved in our police. We don't want them involved in our education system. They have proven to us that they don't like us. They are dishonest. They're unethical. They are agenda driven. They are not knowledge driven. And there's a key point here. They are not knowledge driven people. Listen, having your kid go to school for gender studies, this is not knowledge, folks. This is agenda driven. Now, if you want to send your kid to get a civil engineering degree, that's knowledge driven stuff there. If you want to send your kid to go out there and talk about how a white privilege degree and how white privilege destroys nations, that's an agenda, folks. That is not knowledge driven. College is another thing about college. Being somebody that actually works in the education field. All of us who have gotten an education from the college industry, listen, we paid for that. A lot of us paid for it. And we didn't get what you promised us. We didn't go to learn crap from you Jewish professors. We didn't go to be brainwashed. We went there to get an education. And quite frankly, from high school to college, the colleges are defrauding virtually every single American. Literally, they are defrauding the American people. They are not providing an education. They are not providing a way for people to lift themselves up. They are not providing these kids with anything to come out of college for the most part, to even succeed in the world today. How do you succeed in the world when half of your time is spent on Holocaust studies? How stupid do you have to be? That's not going to get you anywhere. Because quite frankly, in the real intelligent world, we ain't got time for that. Who wants to listen to you talk about how, oh, you white people were bad. You killed 6 million Germans. That ain't what happened. Or 6 million Jews. That ain't what happened, folks. Jews killed 9 million Germans after the war. That's what happened. How about you talk about that? Did they cover that in your Holocaust studies? No, probably not. Did they talk about Jews killing 66 million Russians? No, probably not. So you don't even have a basic simple facts about the idea and the concept of your genocide Holocaust studies. Folks, mainstream colleges in America are defrauding the public, plain and simple. They're charging a huge amount of money and providing no value and no service. They're providing useless paper, useless skills. It's fraud, plain and simple. These universities should be hauled into court on a class action lawsuit and have their money refunded in spades because it's fraud. How dare we sit there and allow these professors to continue to send anti-Western type of messages within our own countries and we not hold them responsible? I'm not saying you got to ride up on a bicycle and shoot them, okay? That's not how we do things. But still, they should be held responsible. There's no reason for these Jewish professors to talk about all I want for Christmas is a white genocide. Really? You're going to actually go public with stupidity like that? And then you're going to expect people in the West, especially those of Western European heritage, to not take notice? Really? I mean, the level of stupidity coming from so many Jewish circles now is really beginning to, I don't know, it's becoming so obvious. It's like, how can nobody get it? Quite frankly. Listen, there's no masks anymore to the Jewish culture and Jewish society. They tell you who they are every day. They educate you every day. They explain to you every day. And they do it in a way that doesn't hide the fact that they are a ruling class in their minds. They are a ruling class de facto in some respect as a people. They are anti-Western. And they don't want anybody in the West to have any rights to self-determination. They want to be Lord and Master of the West. We all know, as a people, that Jews are a complete failure when it comes to managing things. You could talk all you want about how brilliant Jews are, but tell me then, why is America $21 trillion in debt? If they're so brilliant with money, and the U.S. Treasury Department is managed largely by Jews, why is America $21 trillion in debt? Is it because they're so brilliant with money, or are they just brilliant at stealing it from the public coffers? I've known some Jews that work really hard. Really. They work really hard. And they give back. They never gave back to white people. They'd give back to the black people down in South Central Los Angeles. Yeah, and they weren't so clever either. They learned a lot from us, white guys. And they appreciated us, white guys, because we made them money. But when it came to donating their time and efforts, it never went to the white guy and the poor white people out there. It went to the African community down in South Central Los Angeles. But even these rational guys, the ones that we could work with, even no matter how rational they were, when it came to Israel, when it came down to politics, it really boiled down to, look, you need to shut up, white boy. You need to listen to us Jews because we know better than you. That's kind of what it came down to. It wasn't so in-your-face arrogant like that. They're always so coy and subtle. But they're not so coy and subtle. Not anymore. Look, you are told every day now, if you do not allow for Jews the right to self-determination, you are an anti-Semite. Okay? You must give Jews the right to self-determination or you are an anti-Semite. Now, what do you turn around and call these treasonous trash who do not give you the right to self-determination, who demand that you consistently give up your right to self-determination so that you can serve Israel and the greater Israel project? And that's not just America, folks. That's everywhere, pretty much everywhere. I'll tell you, the law, going back to Israel here, Israel has been founded on a really something that's unheard of in this world today. It's racial, tribal, religious supremacism. That's Israel. And you cannot support Israel and not be a racist, a tribalist, or a religionist. You're going to be one of these people. Now, as far as religion, should be separated from our government. So anybody that wants to support Israel in the name of religion should be kicked out of their positions. They should not hold these positions. They're unqualified. Okay? They're simply unqualified. We have separations of church and state. We do not need a bunch of religious nutcases, Jewish or non-Jewish, making decisions, sending our money all the way over to Israel while our people can barely feed themselves in some cases based on a religious principle. That's kind of dumb. Now, Jews have made it the law of the land that racism is not permitted anymore. So therefore, we should never support Israel simply because it is a racist state. Plain and simple, folks, it is a racist state. It is existing mainly and only for one particular people. In February of 1919, in what was known as the League of Nations Journal, an author, Zangwill, proposed that the Palestinians should be gradually transplanted. See? Now, this is 1919. In, again, the League of Nations, a Jew proposing that a native people should slowly be transplanted. Now, look around you. Everywhere you look, you see what? You're being transplanted. You're being moved out. You're being shifted. You're being invaded. And a lot of people I know, they want to move to somewhere where it's quieter. Well, guess what? You're being slowly. The white flight is slowly transplanting yourself. In 1920, this same person proposed in the Voice of Jerusalem that there should be an Arab exodus. Now then, I haven't heard any Jew complaining about this. I've never heard a single protest from the Jewish community about this. I've never heard this person and all the actions that came as a branch of this person ever criticized for being wrong. Now, ask yourself if it's okay for Jews to propose an Arab exodus. Is it really so wrong for people to propose a Jewish exodus? I mean, think about it. We're just changing the word. Arab exodus, Jewish exodus, German exodus. They've already had, if you know the atrocity of Jan, you're a bit late, man. But if you know what happened to the Germans, folks, they had millions of people left behind the lines after the fall of World War II, and we had a massive exodus of Germans. So, I again ask yourself, where is the problem by using the term Jewish exodus? There should be no intellectual problem with using that term, because it's intellectually honest. It should be discussed. Again, when I see Jews talk about supplanting races, supplanting people, genociding people, when I see them talk about how they should be allowed to supplant the Palestinians, then again, from an intellectual argument, Jews have made the case that supplanting them isn't really a bad thing. It's something that should be considered. Because again, Jews have put forward the idea of you must give them a right to self-determination or you're anti-Semitic. That's fine. Now Jews should, again, back out of our countries under the same thing. And how are you going to get them to back out unless you start talking about a mass Jewish exodus? These are issues that are not so much intellectualized right now, per se, I think, but it's something that everybody should start to consider. Not everybody. Some of your more advanced thinkers should start to consider. You can't have a viable democracy when you have a people like Jewish people who buy up everything. How can you have a democracy when everything's for sale? You know, literally everything's for sale. I mean, it's not very cool to watch these people pass laws that are destroying our nation. Anyways, that's the show, folks. It's the Fed. Inside the Eye Live. Prime, not prime time, intelligent media for the politically aware. Thanks for watching, and catch you all Thursday for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.